One Man Revolution, Volume 5, Episode 6-7. We're back again, back live on a Friday night from the bunker. It's the One Man Revolution podcast. I'm your host, The Revolutionary. I'm joined by
the comrade
and
the Canadian
and the peanut gallery's on the couch. Yeah. The casting couch.
Yeah.
And again, you can't see her, but she's there. Trust me. Adding in her little bombs and baubles and drinking a hurricane. All right. So, man, there are only, I think we're under 1,993 days.
What?
Ezekiel 25:17.
We are there. Thank you, Sam L. Oh man, we're under 1,000 days until we
8647.
Until the 8647. It's so strange. This week they, there were court cases and ballistic and ballistic conversation and royalty who came into town.
Yeah.
And in all that, nothing happened. Mm. Ah, there we go. I got it. Only took three fingers. Oh, so I am having a little of Austria from a lot of Vermont, a Von Trapp. Love these Von Trapps. 12-pack Von Trapp multi-pack with all the different flavors. This one is the Vienna Lager, Austrian-style lager.
Nice.
Which means it's going to be malty and delicious.
It'd be funny if they did like a smoked Schwarzbier, but called it the Vienna Sausage.
Yeah. It'd have to be a small one.
It would have to be a very small one. Have to come in like 250 cans.
It comes in like a super skinny can.
Yeah. No. Short ones, just like Vienna sausages. Yeah, small ounces. Ones.
Yeah. So I've got a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Nice.
Because they walked into the store and they were on sale. And I said, yes, that will do.
That's what we call a Sierra Nevada Sale Ale.
Yeah. And I have a question. Yeah. Do any of you have any Canadian in you?
Oh,
would you like some? I'm having Molson Canadian.
The son of a bitch found Molson Canadian at his local
Molson's
purveyor.
Molson's a classic, man.
Yeah.
It's not a great beer, but it's Canadian.
But it's Canadian. A beer. Yeah. Oh, man. Hey,
are these actually imported or are they brewed local?
They're imported, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, it's only across a border.
Right now,
you can almost never find them. Almost never find them down here. I just walked into Publix and I was looking. Oh, maybe they've got a 6-pack of the Modelo light beer over there.
The Oro.
The Oros.
Yeah, there's 12 packs of those.
I know, but I don't want 12.
I know, but we have a 12-pack of them.
Well, that's why I can't bring a 12-pack here because you already have one.
It's a Cinco. It's Uno de Mayo.
Yeah.
As
look,
we all
Canadian.
Know.
All I'm saying is that's a very defeatist attitude. Yeah.
That's
you
true.
Can always bring more beer.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but then I looked up, and there in the upper shelf, top shelf, in fact, was the Molson Canadian.
Right where they belong.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the funny part is you can find the Molson with the moose head on it all the time.
Yeah.
It's the Canadian
Molson Golden. You just can't find the Canadian.
Yeah. This one has a nice nice bitterness to it from the malt. It's nice. Mm. Man, this week has been just garbage, absolute hot garbage. So Saturday was the correspondence dinner, which traditionally, I'm just going to go in order of days because if we don't go in like a chronological order, it's going to be almost impossible to get through everything this week.
Valid.
And every week it seems the same thing. Something ridiculous happens, followed by something ridiculous that happens, followed by something atrocious that happens, followed by something that makes America look stupid, followed by Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump. It just keeps going. I mean, there's nothing else I can say. And Mike Johnson this week, too.
The running line that I've been seeing in social media is we have a Watergate every day and nobody cares.
Yeah. It's because we've become desensitized. Yeah. The stupidity is so heavy now.
Well, I also think, too, when we've come to understand that nothing about our system will hold anyone to account, it's hard to find a reason to give a shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like genuinely, we saw Donald Trump get impeached twice in the same term, and that came to nothing. We've seen the deliberate fabrication of evidence by the FBI, and that's come to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Congress won't hold any of the members of the cabinet to any level of decorum or professionalism at all. So you know, we should still care. We should still keep track of these things, but it's really hard to really work up the fire about it at this point.
Yeah, and that's really why, because the average person is going about their day to day lives and not mm-hmm. glued to the news. But yeah, if there was a congressional investigation into something, they would pay attention. And there's something worth investigating every single day, if not multiple times.
Yeah, and I'm gonna be bold on this one. They wouldn't know.
Yeah,
they wouldn't know that a congressional hearing was happening because the news at 6 o'clock and 6:30 wouldn't show anything about it because they're all run by billionaire assholes, or they're all one network now.
There's that aspect, and that was. Go ahead.
I think they would know. I just think that the networks would decide what the story is before anything even happens.
And minimize it. And absolutely minimize it.
If it's legitimately troubling to the presidency, then yes, they would go right under the rug.
Yeah.
Like all of these warehouse fires that nobody's talking about.
What number are we up to now?
I think we're at 90.
90? Yeah.
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 In the past month.
But the first thing I wanted to talk about with the White House Correspondents' Dinner is the history of this is it's the correspondents having fun with themselves.
Yes.
Right? They generally make fun of people in the White House. There's a comedian who does stuff, but they have a dinner celebrating their whatever it is they do.
Well, the fact that they have access to government and by the way, they invite the president. Every year that they have this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there have been times when most presidents don't go because they don't want to be the foils of the jokes. Yep. But it became a habit that presidents would come, and Democratic presidents would have no problem go and sit and listen, you know, because they seem to have that thing, that sense of humor thing.
Yeah.
And then
Obama have the Key and Peele anger translator come in and do a bit over his shoulder?
Luther the anger translator. Yeah. Yes.
And that was peak Obama.
Yeah.
Right. That man was so good at PR. It was ridiculous.
But the original thing was for them to celebrate their jobs or what they do and to schmooze with other people and get to know. But it was about the people who worked in the White House celebrating their work, right?
And
whatever that. That's
And
that's
it's not held in the White House.
No, it's not. And it's
not catered by the White House. You know, it's not, it's held in a hotel, in a ballroom.
It's no different than the university holding a ball for its faculty. It's the same kind of thing. But this year, it got co-opted by the administration.
100%.
And still, people went. And that, to me, says...
Well, look who the correspondents are, though.
That's, to me, says that they are in the pocket of the administration. They couldn't not go, because that would look bad, and therefore they had to go, even if they didn't want to. And I think most of them wanted to. But that just shows where this our free press is owned by the administration.
To the revolutionary's point, you know, if you look up who makes up the press corps for the White House nowadays, and if you look
at bloggers and podcasters,
right-wing influencers, right? Yeah. And then also if you look at how they're treated and how they're expected to behave. TMZ's in there now because TMZ has a DC wing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the guy that was in there talking to Hegseth earlier this week made a soft parenting therapy question. It was very funny. But what you notice is, first off, White House press corps has never been one to be like the hard press journalism. Oh, yeah. They're just there to take the notes and distribute the words. But at no point,
well, they're unnecessary. Because the press secretary walks out and reports to a camera and a group of people to ask questions. They're unnecessary at this point.
Now, hang on. The questions they ask can be good as long as they're allowed to push back.
Right.
And that's the problem right now is the Trump presidency is basically saying, oh, if we get any level of pushback whatsoever, you lose your credentials completely. Right. You're out.
And yeah. and that's sort of where I was going. It used to be that they would ask questions. They could drill down a little bit and get more detailed answers, call them out on their bullshit and get them to essentially say it was bullshit. Right.
Right.
There used to be some value to it. It was still wasn't a lot of reporting because it was the mouthpiece of the administration telling you what the administration wanted to say. There wasn't a lot of extra details there, but now it's even worse than that because if you say something and make the administration look bad, you're banned. So you can't do that. But even at the dinner, all the ABC, NBC, CBS correspondents were there. People from those administrations were there, from those companies were there as well because they had to be, right? That there was no option for them to say no because the companies need or want to suck up to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's all about maintaining a standard relationship with an abuser, right?
Yeah.
Like it's
exactly that. It's an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
Anyway,
a status quo. Yeah. And so normally he has, you know, normally the White House Correspondents' Dinner hires a comic. Someone who's very famous. Mm-hmm. They've had people like Jimmy Kimmel. They've had people like
Seth Meyers did it.
I mean, they've had a long, long tradition. Billy Crystal even did it. I mean, like a long tradition of comedians who would go and do it. This year, it was so controlled that that Trump was going to be in attendance this year, which, by the way, it is the first time that he has been in attendance in his presidencies. Yeah. That's 7 years.
The last time was when Obama was a president and made fun of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That was 2011.
Yeah.
And I there are people have been saying, and I don't disagree with them, that that was the reason why Trump ran for president.
Yeah.
Because he got burned by Obama and he said, nope, I can't have that.
Yeah. And so they didn't even, because Trump was going to be there, the Correspondents' Dinner softballed it even more and had a mentalist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A guy who
they're kind of lame.
It's
not funny. It's interactive.
Is that what Pam Bondi's calling herself nowadays?
No, Pam Bondi is. Remember, she doesn't have a job.
She's no is.
She's still living in the house of the head of the Coast Guard. Pam Bondi. That's that's the other one. From Christy Noem.
Yeah, she's squatting. She's not an ist.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's just mental.
Yeah.
She's just an ism.
Yeah. But so they had a mentalist, you know, who was there and he did things like, I'm going to guess the sex of Stephen Miller's wife's baby.
Oh no.
You know, I mean, and things like that. And the name that they're thinking of calling the baby girl. After he guessed the
song. He was cold reading from the stage?
Yes.
Oh, I imagine it was.
And
it
he was not when the event, I'm not going to call it a shooting, when the event occurred that caused a security issue, the mentalist was between Melania and Donald holding up a name of like Vanessa. And everyone was like, who's this weirdo who's – and by the way, if you're a mentalist, you should know that a gunman was going to be coming to the White House, right? If no, you're right,
that's only if you're a medium.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot.
If you're a medium.
Yeah, he was a small.
Is just reading the room.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But that's the whole thing. So when you're seeing when the events are transpiring, this mentalist is walking around, you know, guessing your favorite color or your PIN code based on asking you two questions, which is ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
So the incident occurred when an individual, again, we don't think the political violence should happen. We think it's ridiculous that it's there. Who even says that this is politically motivated? I mean, it could just be somebody is pissed off at the fact that gas is $4 a gallon. That isn't political. That's literally not political.
If you bring it up to the president.
Yeah, really. All right.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Or he lost his job because of a DEI change, you know, we don't hire those. And that's still not political. That is a personal, I am pissed off at a person because I feel that they're responsible for it. It doesn't necessarily have to be political.
What was the motivation for the dude that shot Reagan?
Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
He was in love with Jodie Foster.
And he wanted to impress
her.
By shooting Reagan.
Yes. Yeah. He thought that it would give him the notoriety that he would then be elevated to a level where where he would then be famous enough for her to date him.
Yeah.
Of course, ignoring the fact that she is a gay.
Well, he she's kept that pretty locked down.
It was the '80s. Nobody knew.
It was the '80s. No one was straight.
No one knew. Let's be
honest here.
No one knew Reagan was gay either.
Yeah.
Well,
Rock Hudson did.
Yeah, that's true.
Look, throat goat knows everything. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You keep no secrets from the throat goat.
Yeah, but from the top, all looks the same.
Just close your eyes and think of England.
Exactly.
We'll get there.
Speaking of which.
We'll get there. So the individual comes in to he supposedly had a room in the hotel. That's how he gained access to the Hilton. By the way, it's a Hilton.
Mm-hmm. It's just a Hilton.
It's a Hilton ballroom.
It's the DC Hilton.
Yeah, it's a Hilton ballroom. Yeah. And so there were layers of security. Outside, there were the DC police. Mm-hmm. Then you get inside, closer in, it's hotel security. Then you get even closer to the inner circle, it's Secret Service. Mm-hmm. You know, and depending on what you do, all of those levels failed because this individual supposedly got through with, and comrade, you'll love these, okay? I don't understand the kit that this man brought. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he brought a pump action shotgun with a 24-inch barrel. It's not very concealable.
That's a
duck gun. Yeah.
It's a birding gun.
That's a birding gun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
12 gauge pump action shotgun with a 24-inch barrel.
A goose gun. Yeah.
He brought a 38 caliber, and this is what's being reported, semi-automatic pistol. Is that a revolver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because I can't think of a semi-automatic pistol in 38 special.
Like a Smith & Wesson Shield, I think, is a 38?
I don't think so. That's a 308.
No, it's not 308.
No, 380.
Is that different than a 38?
Yes. Very much so. Oh, my gosh, yes, sir.
They're the same numbers with a zero.
Yeah, 38 special. And it's been reported. And again, I hate getting into the minutia, but when they're talking about this kit time.
Yeah,
38 special fits in 357.
So that's it's the size a 380 of ACP.
Yeah. I think they see 38 and say it's a 38, and it wasn't a 38. Okay?
Well,
he had three knives, you know, in case one of them jammed.
Well, you can throw two and still have.
Yeah, that's all. You get one stuck in a rib cage and you keep going.
It's always faster to switch to your secondary than to clear the jam.
Yeah, yeah. So he had, and by the way, he had
get stuck in the jam.
Yeah,
just get another knife.
Well, you just pump up the jam. That's what you do. But the fact is he had five weapons. That's what they're reporting. He had five weapons.
What I'm curious about is why he is less packed than I am when I go on a road trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Well. Also, it's not like he hasn't. Your average 15-year-old knows to get an AR and a bunch of rounds of clips.
Well, an average 15-year-old steals his mom's AR.
Yeah, but this guy didn't like ask ChatGPT about it.
This is a failing of AI. So, that's what I say. It's a failing of AI.
Do a shotgun, nobody will notice.
Yeah.
But,
the thing about it is, you know, obviously when this kind of crap happens, everybody's like, oh, we got to get the scoop on whatever the hell happened. I did see a report that said he trained with the IDF.
There have been reports that there was an increase in searches for his name prior to the incident.
Well, same with the Kirk shooter.
Same with the Kirk shooter. Same with the guy in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. It's very weird how this keeps happening. To which I start to wonder if those are just doctored images and not legit, like, indexes, but you can always verify.
Anything
could be that. Also, the first, so first of all, they're like, yes, there was a shooting in the correspondence center. Sir, it happened in an anterior room outside of the room.
A long way away.
And where to my knowledge, the only people doing the shooting were Secret Service. The actual guy never opened fire at
Correct.
All. He just like there's a weird video that hit? May or may not have been the dude, but he just ran by as far as we can tell.
Did he get shot?
No.
No, so no, but there was friendly fire.
But they missed. They were shooting.
They missed the target and hit another Secret Service guy.
Yeah. Right. So, in the vest.
Vest. So, okay,
thankfully, in the vest. Yeah.
So I think we'll get back to it. But keep in your mind this picture as we discuss this, that's a metaphor for everything that went down and everything in this administration.
Well, the inept security is only one part of it. Yeah.
But it's all so, of it is the guy pulling his gun, shooting close range, missing and hitting a friend. That's the entire administration.
At a dude who did not technically present a threat, he just ran through security.
Now, depending on the video that you see, and there's two of them currently that have been released. One of them is obviously AI doctored.
Well, yeah,
obviously the Secret Service agent in the center of the frame has a hat. Well, and then he the hat becomes his hair.
My understanding is that second video is because the actual like wide frame is basically filmed on a potato with about 15 pixels.
Right.
So you see like a dark smear running and then another dark smear reacting. And then the second video is allegedly somebody tried to doctor it using AI to make it more visible what's happening.
Well, and then but
doesn't go well.
The second video has him with a shotgun. The first video has him carrying a piece of paper.
Yeah, it's yeah.
So I mean, if he had us, so here's what I'm saying. What if this guy was a protester, and he ran in with a paper, with a piece of poster board that had something like, you know, release the Epstein files, right? But he ran in and ran real fast by everybody. So the first video would be him with that, and because he did not seem to be a threat except for the running. Only one of the people in that shot actually draw their weapon and fire when there are nine people in that frame.
Right.
And he's the guy that opens fire and misses the guy and shoots one of his compatriots.
The thing that so if we play my favorite game, the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
If we grant, let's say the dude, because again, he did not shoot. He did not come prepared to shoot. If he had a gun, maybe he did. I don't know. But he did not come prepared to shoot the guys in the hallway.
Right.
So if let's say he's not armed. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. He is a protester. He's just running. Secret Service. They see a dude just sprinting by. They're not paying attention. Like on the video, everybody's super relaxed
because
it's a routine evening. Here comes this dude. They freak out. It's weird to me that in a crowded enclosed hallway with nine Secret Service, the first thing that anybody does is open fire.
Right.
That's weird.
That's like, bad training.
Tackle the dude, right? There's so many more of you than he is, and he is in a confined space. Shut the door he's running to and tackle him.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if he is shooting at you, yes, shoot back. Yeah. But that's not what happened.
Yeah. It doesn't. So it shows very clearly in whatever these two videos, in both of those videos, that the individual center camera closest to the camera, whose back is to you, draws and fires just at the flash going by.
Yep. Yep. And that's all we see.
And
that's
when Barry Allen kept running. I mean, you know.
Barry Allen got a new suit on the back. It says 8647, and he's currently under trial for treason.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been Jake Eric, but who knows? I mean, whatever way. The man was a speedster. he covered some ground really quickly.
Everybody looks like a speedster when you're filming at 15 pixels and 3 frames per second. I don't know who's in charge of security at Hilton, but please get some modern cameras. My God.
So then the incident occurs in the ante area, and then immediately they lock the place down and start taking the important people out. Now, do you know who was in that room? Who should never all be in the same room?
It was the VP, the president, and not the speaker. There was somebody else.
Yeah, no. Mike Johnson was there.
Oh, Johnson was there.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. It was like it was the movie, the 19th visitor. Whatever, 19th.
Well, there's the TV show that
Designated Survivor. It was literally the TV show Designated Survivor, because they had. Hegseth was there. Secretary of State was there. Everybody was there.
If Iran was serious about doing us real damage, that building would not be standing.
Well, it's kind of.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's no way. There's no way that information had not been disseminated.
They did more damage. They did more damage by just letting this happen.
Well, they're
you know,
as Sun Tzu said, when your enemy is making a mistake, do not interrupt him.
Correct. Right? Absolutely. Sun Tzu is very smart. That's why China had 10,000 years of uninterrupted culture.
But it goes back to my metaphor of them shooting themselves and missing what they're supposed to do, right? It's it's ineptitude that causes additional collateral damage.
Yeah.
The fact that they had the president and the vice president in the same room, that happens. But also all of the other cabinet members, not all of them, but most of them.
I mean, HHS secretary, RFK Jr.
And then when there was an incident, and again, remember, we're at war, right? We are actively in conflict with another sovereign nation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, but we are. They didn't take people to different locations. The frickin' FBI director is standing outside, right?
Trump was just backstage.
Yeah.
And he was standing there watching from backstage.
And if it had been an actual threat, like imagine because they didn't sweep the rooms for things, they had explosives up in their room and brought the building down, all those people would have died.
Yeah. Or at least been critically injured.
Because they weren't taken, none of that security was processed successfully. Mm-mm. And that's like two things. One, they knew it wasn't real. Or two, they're frickin' incompetent. And both answers are likely
or both.
Correct. Yeah.
Or both. They're incompetent and they knew it wasn't real. Mm-hmm. You know, because competently they would have if this was competent and not real.
Yeah.
Competent and not real, he gets into the room and you shoot him dead. Mm-hmm. That's competent and knowing it's not real and sacrificing this pawn.
Yeah. Competent and staged is right before he gets to the room with everyone in it. He shoots once and then is taken down by three dudes.
You have, but see, competent if you want the ballroom. If the whole goal of this was building the giant $400 million ballroom on the East Wing.
Well, no.
You let him open the door and draw his weapon.
What I'm getting at, right, is I don't really care, you know, what the motivation is for setting this up. As we know, when Donald Trump's looking bad in the polls, he sets up a fake assassination.
Yeah.
So what you do in this circumstance is you let the dude get real close. Because right now, like, the geometry of it is kind of lost, right? Like, we don't really know where in the hotel he was and how close he was to the ballroom. All we know is Secret Service dude opened fire, everybody bails.
Yeah.
But it was so... The people in the ballroom felt so unthreatened by the circumstance that one dude just stayed in his chair and kept eating.
Salad guy.
Salad guy. And then a bunch of other people grabbing bottles.
So I'm taking this wine.
Oh, so the event's over.
And finish their bottles.
Oh, so the event's over. I guess we're taking the bottles.
Yeah, wine, sure. Yeah. You know, but like, we're at the point where people legitimately don't take threats on the president's life seriously because odds are they're not real. Right? Like, not to say people don't get harmed, not to say there isn't a consequence, but we all know at this point that when things are looking real bad for the president, something like this is going to happen, and nothing will come from it. We know so little about the kid that shot at Trump in Pennsylvania. We know so little about him. We know even less about the dude that allegedly tried to shoot him on the golf course.
Well, nothing about Charlie Kirk's shooter.
Well, no, what we got was a lot of weird conflicting information for about a week, and then they vanished, right? So all of these things, and inevitably they're all tied back to right-wing politics in some weird way.
Yeah.
All of these things are very much nothing burgers meant to drum up attention.
There is a lot of political violence happening, but
it's right on right violence.
But it's right on right violence. You're not extreme enough for me. I need you to be more extreme, Mr. President.
Yeah.
You know,
it's really bizarre.
Yeah. So it's frustrating that it's frustrating that we have to recap this, and then it left the news cycle at 60 Minutes.
Yep.
Because they then brought after the correspondents' dinner, all of those people go into the press room at the White House, all of them, and Caroline is sitting over there laughing and giggling. Pete Hegseth is smirking and smiling.
Did you see she made a weird little like comment about like
empty, oh he's gonna shoot
he's gonna empty the chamber or
no something? He's gonna fire some shots Shots are going to be fired. Because
the president's going to speak and there's going to be shots fired.
Mm-hmm. That's the one. Yeah.
And yeah.
An hour later.
Like, yeah.
It's again, it's so weird. I don't. I believe in what is it?
I don't believe in coincidence.
I believe in coincidence, but I don't trust it.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. Because sometimes it legitimately just does happen. But again, when a pattern is established around a man who is he's a lightning bolt for attention, right?
Yeah.
When a pattern is established, you have to listen. You have to understand that the world is telling you something. And right now what the world is telling us is Donald Trump believes that somehow an attempt on his life will get him the sympathy he needs to keep political points.
Well, and all of the news organizations capitulated to that.
Yep. Of course they do. Yeah.
Every one of them shooting at the correspondence dinner. And when I got that as a breaking news story, I looked it up and it says a man on the property of Hilton was detained after shots were fired by the Secret Service. Mm-hmm. Hold on, that's a completely different story than someone taking a couple of pot shots at the president.
And you know? In that vein, I actually blame social media and the news media for not understanding that their responsibility is not to be social media.
Yeah.
Right. Because a bunch of people who are even more chronically online than we are that we follow for updates, like Pearlman 5000, are like, they're on every single second of what's happening in the presidency in the White House. So, like, they were watching it as it happened and they're posting about it and all this stuff. And that's fine.
It's not healthy.
Well, no. What I'm saying is it's fine that they're making those posts because we don't expect them to have the details and have the resources to do the research and understand what happened.
And I appreciate their sacrifice.
They're just reacting to what they see. So, Pearl Man goes, what the hell just happened with a screen grab of, like, you know, the room as it's being cleared? I'm like, okay, that's crazy. But again, the news doesn't have anything to work with because the FBI doesn't have any evidence, either because there isn't any or because they don't know how to gather it. At no point is real fact finding happening by our justice system, by our law enforcement.
Well, you heard,
then go to the press and let us know what actually happened.
Well, you heard the acting AG in a meeting this past week with Kashyap Patel. That
sounds like a real unconfident dweeb.
Yeah, well, he's he is. Yeah. I can't remember what his name is, but
think it matters.
He's one of Trump's inept attorneys who lost a case for him, but somehow he's now the acting attorney general.
Yeah.
But he was saying, well, we really don't know how evidence is collected, and evidence collecting isn't a science. So we don't really know where or when or how anything is going to come out of this.
But
we will find the stripper clip for the AR.
Yeah, yeah, the stripper
clip. On Sharpie. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
The other thing about this administration is you can't believe anything they say.
No.
So even if the FBI came out and said, here's what's going on, you can't believe it. Mm-mm. Because they've been wrong so much and come out with half-baked answers many times.
So that's the interesting thing to me about specifically about the FBI under Trump is evidence is falsifiable,
mm-hmm.
right? There is a given procedure, there's a given process, there's a certain way that you're supposed to do it and not do it. And what we know for a fact is Kash Patel's FBI does not follow these procedures.
Oh, you mean verifiable, not falsifiable.
No, same difference.
Oh, okay.
Falsifiable is the sky is green. That's a falsifiable statement. You can look at it. You can verify from true if it's correct or not.
Okay.
So when Kash Patel says we have evidence that puts this man in this room doing this thing, and then we all look at the evidence and we go, no, actually the evidence doesn't say that.
Yeah, Colonel Mustard did not have a candlestick.
Right. Colonel Mustard, in fact, had the revolver. He was shooting Miss Scarlet, but that's a different problem.
Yeah.
I heard he had more like the baseball bat, if you know what I mean.
That's Professor Plum. Mm. Yeah, Professor Plum's got a baby arm holding an apple. Professor Plum's packing. It alliterates well. I've got a clue.
Anyway, raging clue.
Oh, raging clue. Yeah. So for me, the frustration that occurs is we see in real time the rewriting and the falsification of evidence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so they're all hunky dory in the White House press room. And the first thing out of his mouth isn't, you know, this is what we need to do is we need to look at controlling the sale of guns. So that we, you know, so that the you know, so that
well,
we can
Secret Service should not be shooting themselves. So we need to make sure they have less guns.
Yeah. Or but no, I'm saying about for this individual, right? I mean, all of this could be handled by common sense gun laws.
We still don't know if the dude had guns.
No, he had a 24-inch barrel shotgun, which we all know is highly conceivable. He had a 380 special. Yeah. I'm sorry, 38 special. Now, I'm going to put a period in that 380 special because they keep saying 38 special. A semi-automatic handgun.
That's not where the period goes. It's fine.
No, no. That's the whole point.
Yeah,
that's the whole point. They don't know what they're saying. They're putting this out there so that any person with a brain can go, none of that makes sense.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't, if I wanted to go into an area and use a shotgun, I'm coming in with something I have illegally sawed off that has slugs in it.
But you don't want to break the law.
Well, yeah, exactly. I don't want to break the law.
My thing is, if you are determined to get into a place you don't belong, you don't run through security.
No, you saunter in with a limp and a cane, and your cane happens to be a 24-inch barrel shotgun.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you walk in with crazy confidence, or you find a maintenance. Like, there's so many ways to do this that aren't sprinting through a hallway.
It's too obvious.
This one's, so, like, yeah. Beyond which, they're on the 15 pixels. There was no indication of a 16th pixel of a shotgun.
No,
because that big of a gun, I own one. That big of a gun, you don't hide anywhere. You either put it on your back, which is useless, or you carry it. Mm-hmm. And if you're carrying it, you don't run that way.
No. And the thing is that there's video of him going in with a backpack,
which is where the shotgun goes, right? The JanSport will hold that shotgun.
It's not a 24-inch barrel. It's like a 10 count, and outside the door, it's one of the camera angles they have. Outside the door is a canine unit, and he stands there for what to me feels like a friggin' eternity,
right,
staring at the door.
Yep.
That the guy just went in with a backpack. And then the guy comes out and runs. No, the guy with the dog walks away, and then the guy runs out, and he has something in his hands, and they're like, and that's his shotgun. I'm like, how? There's no such thing as a collapsible barrel shotgun. You know,
it's like those things you get at parties where you blow and they extend out.
Penises?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. No. That's
well, when
that's
you blow them, they extend out. Yeah.
They extend out and then you blow them.
Oh, I got you. The frog tongue ones. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like that. It's
the party favors.
It rolls up, and you fire the shotgun, and it extends, and then
there's a patent I would love to see. And this guy was
extendo barrel.
And by the way,
extendo barrel.
And by the way, to
TM.
Yeah, extendo barrel. So yeah, there we go. Extendo barrel. TM. Yeah. And this guy also, that you look into his background, and he is a scientist that worked with other scientists and other scientists that are now missing or dead. He's one of those. He worked with those scientists.
He's a scientist?
He was an engineer or something. Yeah, in California. Yeah,
engineering guy.
Yeah,
it's not clear what kind and what he did.
No, but again, all of this stuff is to distract us from what else is going on.
Epstein files,
which is the Epstein files, that's and the fact that our president is and always has been someone who commits sexual assault and has sex with children.
And that's what he's. That's why he. That's in his manifesto, which he apparently didn't write or did.
Which
write.
He obviously wrote.
Yeah,
and mailed it to his friends.
That's
saying,
what he was complaining about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Having sex with children is called rape. Thank you, Pina.
But what about with young ladies?
If they
are they old enough to consent?
No,
no.
Well, then
that's
right.
Why we use that term.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, no,
yeah.
No. They use the term young women. Young women as young as 13.
Yeah.
That's a direct quote. From the FBI director.
Yeah, you can tell child rapists because they don't use the word child.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very simple. It's very simple. And so then 60 Minutes comes along. So the president has his little speech, and instead of saying we need common sense gun reform, or we need to talk about how security needs to be increased around him because there's a war going on.
He said every high school needs a $400 million ballroom so the kids will be safe.
Correct. No. He said that he needs a $400 million.
And everybody else.
And the American people need to pay for it for me. And so immediately, after that press junket, all of the right-wing influencers posted in unison at almost the exact same minute.
Yep.
The president, we need to get a safe ballroom for the president.
Yeah.
And then Ted Cruz comes out. And yeah, doesn't
you got the text message.
No, and Ted Cruz comes out and says, "No, he was," and I was shocked at that. But I think he's up for re-election.
Yeah,
so
of course he is.
Yeah, so it's rough. It's very rough right now with all this stuff. To me, it's sad that we have gotten to this point. Where all so in unison, they all come out with that we need a ballroom, and then 60 Minutes comes out.
Just to be clear, are the Depends not giving the president the room he needs?
Yeah.
He's got no. He has no balls, well, so he doesn't need a new ballroom. He doesn't need any more ballroom.
According to the witness, Stormy Daniels, he does not have balls or a penis.
Yeah.
Did they recede?
I mean,
I'll let you know in a few years.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I'm wondering if a lot of his anger and pent up aggression is because he's just got a micropene and no way to do anything about it, right?
And money cannot buy you a bit. Money can buy you a bigger penis, but the risk is they break your penis and then you no longer get pleasure from your penis.
And to be clear, for those of you who may be suffering with this issue, there's tools to help you and your partner find a way around this problem.
Yeah.
Not surgery. You don't need surgery. Yeah. Spend $50. It's fine.
Yeah. Anyway. I think Austin Powers had one in his luggage.
So the correct Google is what exactly?
Swedish penis enlarger.
Extendo barrel.
Extendo barrel. Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be
TM.
For two different reasons.
Yeah, so it's very so then after all of the kumbaya and everyone laughing and giggling in the White House, he had already had scheduled an interview with 60 Minutes. That was in advance. That was before the correspondence dinner, because the correspondence dinner is in the afternoon and they were going to hit him up before he sunsetted and have a little interview. And then he was going to go on. And people are complaining. It's like, what the hell is he wearing? Because if you look at him sitting there, it looks like he's sitting on a giant ball of cotton. Mm-hmm. You know, his Depends are very, 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 very prevalent. Mm-hmm. And he's in. And he's sitting there with the person who is interviewing him, and she is a lovely woman. She is so nice.
Is that Rosie O'Donnell's sister?
Nah, I don't know who that was.
Her name is O'Donnell.
Her last name is O'Donnell. And she asked him. She asked him a bunch of softball questions because the Paramount Network and CBS are owned by the same by his donors and his friends. You know, the Ellisons. And she asks. She then goes, "Well, we have the manifesto from." From the alleged shooter, mm-hmm. and the manifesto says that he will no longer live under the thumb of rapists and pedophiles who are in control of the government. And then Trump says he does what Trump does, and I'm going to read you the 7 steps of Trump. First step: kill the question. That was a horrible question. That's a stupid question.
You're a horrible person.
Second one is kill who asked it. Destroy the source and say, your ratings are terrible. You're horrible. And you don't stand. And who are you with? And he knew she was right across from it. And he said that to her. You're a terrible, horrible interviewer. You have no ratings. And then he inserts himself in the topic and he goes, you know, I was acquitted of all. I was acquitted of all charges. You know, they tried. The Democrats tried to attach me to that guy who I'd only met a couple of times. You know, and I was exonerated of all those charges. That's step three: is insert yourself. Then the step four.
Denied that he was a pedophile.
Yep. Oh yeah, I'm not a pedophile. I've never been a pedophile. And then the next one is scale it to the biggest claim possible. The economy is doing very well. He immediately pivots to the economy. And
oh, he's taking notes from Pam Bondi.
And then step five is unnamed people agree, which I didn't hear if he actually said, you know, a lot. Oh, I think a lot of people say that that I deserve a ballroom to be safe. I think he pivoted to the ballroom and then sure. said, I need a ballroom to be safe. A lot of people are saying that. And then he makes a threat. You know, if I don't get this, someone's going to shoot me. You know, that's a threat. And then the last one is loop back on himself again. And then he's like, you know, people are better off now than they were under Joe Biden. And that was literally step one through seven is what he did during that. And he does it every single time to the point where it's now a written steps that people are then saying, OK, well, that was step one. Next one, step two. Next one, step three.
The thing she came back with is, what are you saying? Because he didn't. Say you.
He didn't say you. He didn't say he was coming after you.
Yeah. Right. He's like, well, you're a horrible person. Just did it all over again.
Yep.
So he kind of admitted that he was that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say what's weird, not to derail, it just reminded me of a thing that I saw earlier this week, which was that.
Was it a penis?
No. Well, mine, but no.
Could you describe it for me?
I'll ask the thespian. She's at home. No, so right after the incident at the correspondence center,
yes,
a whole bunch, a boatload of right-wing influencers on social media all made the same post or nearly the same post.
Right, we said that. Yeah,
this is why. Did you mention that?
Yeah, we said that earlier. Yeah. You were looking something up. It's okay.
I missed it.
That's okay.
I think I was reading up on the shooter.
And you were.
Yeah. It's just absolutely wild that so what I'm saying earlier, right? Like when these things happen and there seems to be a predetermined response, right? I believe in coincidence, but I don't trust it.
Yeah. Well, again, someone in the media, in social media or in the media circles then took all of them. Like 30 of them and just put them on one screenshot and said, here, this doesn't seem odd at all that they're all saying the exact same thing, tweeted at the exact same moment. Yeah. And we have talked about the Republican and the MAGA messaging for years. We've been talking about it forever since we restarted the show. I was talking about it 20 odd years ago when I was covering Bush.
Ever since the establishment of Fox News in 2004?
It was earlier than that.
Was it?
Yeah. Well,
2000?
Fox News started in response to CNN, and that was in the early 90s, 24-hour news cycle. So I think it was 94 was CNN, I think.
Okay.
After World Trade Center bombing, the first World Trade Center bombing was 94 and CNN already existed. So it had to be before that. I guess we could just look up 96. Okay. Yeah, I guess
Roger
it didn't
Engels
go.
And Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah. So in 93, 94, around that Trade Center bombing.
Yep.
That's when CNN went 24 hours door to door.
Really?
And then 2 years later, Rupert Murdoch created Fox News, and now it's the Fox Entertainment Network.
Yep.
Because they can't call themselves news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Legally.
Yeah. Well, and they argued that they shouldn't be considered news in court.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Who would think that we're serious?
But it all started with the first Gulf War.
Of course.
Nightline and Ted Koppel.
Mm. Damn it, Ted Koppel.
Yeah.
I don't know what any of that means.
And that it was 20 again, they would go door to door, hour to hour, covering things because it was at night.
The war.
Well, because the war was at night.
Yeah. Right.
Because it was so far advanced in time because it's halfway around the
every
world.
Every evening there was like hours of Nightline, then it expanded and then eventually it became CNN.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
And now CNN is dead. Rip CNN.
Well, CNN is now owned by the Paramount Group, right?
That's what I said.
Or it's about to be. I don't know if it's purchased yet.
Yeah. But they've already started being yeah. she was a, yeah she, the people are already doing softball questions. Yeah. So all of that put together, that gets us to
Sunday.
To which all of that had happened, and it's a big nothing burger. It's honestly a big nothing burger. All it is the president wanting to get this ballroom made, turning a absolute tragedy. A person, if let's take it all at face value. Let's all 100% face value. Yeah. A person was so angry at something going on in their life that they felt the only thing that they could do to change the world was to take up arms and run into a room where the heads of our state are and wanting to do them harm.
Yeah.
Which should make the people who are in charge think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, these people have no self-awareness.
No, and in fact,
it would require empathy as well.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, I saw the news afterwards because I saw, oh, there's something going on I wanted to see. And the people who are at the correspondence dinner are all on TV in their gowns and their tuxes.
Yep.
And they're clearly upset at what happened.
Of course.
And then the White House people are at the White House having a party,
jacking off. Is that what you're going to
talk about? Hey, we need a ballroom. Like an hour later, they are not upset that this happened. They show no signs of fear or trauma.
Again, when you know, when people tell you who they are, believe them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the fact that there is a single message that came out of this event tells me all I need to know about the validity of this attempt.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because what I believe is happening is they have teams of people on 4chan and 8chan and whatever the hell else.
Of course.
And they're finding sad, desperate people.
Oh, they have a basement full of incels.
Who are on that verge. They're on the threshold of doing something bad. And binder's full of incels even.
No, they have binder's full of women, and we all know who that is. That's Mitt Romney.
The binder's our full money. Of women are in the basement with the incels?
No. No. Comrade, no.
No. That's Epstein. Anyway. So my theory is they have these people who are like a hair trigger away from, like, maybe just $1,000 away from fixing this problem, right?
Yeah.
So maybe they get a paper bag full of cash one day, and then they go out and they get the gun they want, and then they do this thing. Or they just need a little bit of gas money to get to where they need to go to do the thing they want to do.
I think it's more likely a foreign entity doing this.
Uh-huh. IDF.
And you can think of three that come to mind.
MSB.
Who's the third?
China.
China.
The reason why I say it the way I do is because whenever these things happen, the Trump team comes out with a unified message and response.
Yeah.
That is not normal human psychology.
Oh, no.
That
is,
right? I don't think China would help Trump plan for him to get more publicity.
Oh, no.
So hear me out. If you can finish, and then I wanted to give you my
spiel.
No,
that was it, yeah.
Yeah. So who wins when America falls?
Europe.
No,
China.
China.
Although we're their biggest consumer, so it actually doesn't. If it falls, it falls because we're insolvent, that hurts China. Comparison.
But if our power wanes, okay, China's going to fill that gap.
They already have.
They are the only country that can actually fill that gap.
I mean, they have beaten us economically.
Yeah.
We are beyond the point of being able to compete with them because we can't manufacture.
They're about to beat us in space technology. They're about to beat us in naval technology. Well, they're about to beat us.
I have a naval
everywhere.
Oh, sorry.
I maintain the only real positive outcome from the death of the American Empire, which, yay, is that Europe becomes a predominant force in the world.
If
that doesn't happen, we just get chaos.
Yeah, no, I think Europe will.
Yeah.
But China will own the rest of the world that's not Russia.
No, but I think Europe understands the nuance of politics and global trade in a way that America refuses to do so.
But But Europe is also not expansionist.
Yeah.
They are not doing the kind of work in Africa and other countries that China is
doing. Oh, no, the work they used to do in Africa is completely different.
It's totally different.
But in my mind, right, if you're Europe, what you do is you become the trade mediators, right? You become the deal. The oil dollar dies. It becomes the oil euro.
Yeah.
Now Europe is in charge of trade globally, not in a controlling way, but in a facilitating way.
Yeah. I think
this is how things stay stable.
Yeah. I think that's likely to happen. But in terms of soft power expense and military power expense,
the waning
of the U.S., which is what's happening, people are like, you're untrustworthy, bro. We're not going to be with you, is going to go to China.
Yeah.
But people can't trust China either. They've demonstrated that.
Yeah.
Huh?
But they can. We do with all kinds of things.
So China's non-colonial. They have not really they've not, with the exception of Taiwan and islands around their own, they have not had a history since they became the Maoist regime going forward.
Yeah.
They are not a colonial power. What they are is an economic power after they opened up. And so what they do is they make inroads to create trading partners.
Yeah.
So that then you become dependent on them to do trade, which is non-colonial.
Okay.
They don't want they don't need your territory. They don't want your territory. You stay where you are. We are Chinese. We will stay in China.
Right.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to formulate the thought is, Their trade agreements become exclusive and cancerous,
which is already happening. But that's capitalism.
Yeah,
that's just capitalism. No, but that's non-colonial.
I disagree. I think
you can disagree all you want. It's not colonial.
I think if colonialism is only defined in military action, then sure. But I think there's other ways to be colonialist. So, and typically, policies are
colonial, and maybe there's another word for it: neo-colonialism.
Yeah. There you go.
Colonialism is usually occupation and stripping of the nation of resources for your own country's benefit.
Correct.
And China is doing trade deals, maybe way on their benefit, but they're not occupying.
Because they always give back something.
Well, I think they understand, you know, because first off, there's a lot of things that China has advantages over China's government has over our government in terms of structure and process. The biggest one for them is they have the ability to go long term.
Yes.
Because it's a dictatorship or whatever they're calling it, I don't really know. Because it's a long standing stable power, they can go, okay, we have a 10-year plan, a 30-year plan, and an 80-year plan.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
I don't know what the dog's doing.
Uh-oh. Dog ate my microphone.
I don't know what that is, but don't eat it. So because the United States flip-flops every 4 to 8 years on everything, we can't be stable long-term. So they can manipulate their currency, they can manipulate trade deals, they can force companies to do certain things in certain ways, fully understanding that that company is going to take a loss or even go bankrupt, but they can take care of the people and make sure that the long-term investment of that action pays out. It's interesting.
So they're modern capitalists because they didn't start their capitalist journey until after the 1950s.
Well, so that's kind of where I was going.
So they're very modern capitalists. And they are very brilliant and learned people. With 10,000 years of continuous culture, and a homogeneous population.
So what I'm trying to get at is they learn from the mistakes of the British and the Americans and watching our colonialist capitalism.
Which is why they are not colonialists.
No.
Because it's a lost leader.
Okay, we're getting semantical about it. I don't care what you call it. It doesn't matter. What I'm getting at is they understand.
You know, it doesn't matter because you disagree with me.
No, you're not. Oh my God, dude! Just listen to me for half a minute, please, God. I am saying that they understood by watching us make the mistakes we did, and the British make the mistakes they did. That it's much cheaper.
Yes,
cheaper to not invade.
Correct.
You go there. You force them into a trade deal by saying, "Hey, we will build infrastructure your nation could never afford. so long as the only person, the only people you ever trade with for the future of ever is us.
Yeah.
On our terms and our ways and our manners. I think that behavior, because it's capitalist, is by definition colonial.
Yeah, no, it's not. By definition, it's something else, and I understand what you're saying. It's a locked-in trade agreement. Places do that. Mm-hmm. It's not colonialism because you're not disrupting and destroying the culture of the place that you are doing business with.
Correct.
That's what colonialism does.
Destroys the culture that it takes over.
And so it's economic colonialism. You are taking over you're making a place dependent upon you. It's
predatory. It's parasitic.
Yeah.
But it is not a colony. You're not creating colonies.
But would you say that capitalism is good at maintaining culture?
I don't think capitalism
doesn't care
about
culture. It's indifferent. It doesn't care.
I think capitalism destroys everything in this.
Well, but American capitalism destroys everything it touches.
Yeah.
Right. But not all capitalism is that way.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's capitalism that's grown and controlled by the state.
Yeah.
Right. That reins in capitalist tendencies, that doesn't let trillionaires exist.
Yep.
Right, that uses the economic fuel of capitalism to funnel back into its own economy.
I want to point out, China has socialized medicine. China has trains that run all around their country, high-speed rail. China has their own internal transportation systems and the ability to build ports and their own economy and their own and all of those things. We don't have that. They're winning at capitalism.
Yeah.
Much better than we are.
And think of it, we think in America especially that capitalism really is our system of government.
Yeah.
I mean, we call ourselves a democracy, but really we're a capitalocracy.
I'm going to go one step further, and you can continue, but I'm going to go one step further.
Where you have to have money to get into office in order to control the government, by which point you are then making money controlling the government. We are a capitalistic democracy, as opposed to a socialistic democracy like a lot of European countries are.
Comrade, you ready? I'm going to blow your mind. You ready? Ready for your mind to be blown?
I'm still trying to parse out my thoughts here, but go ahead.
All right. I'm going to blow your mind. We are not a capitalist country. We are a colonial country. We have never left the colonial mindset. Yeah. That we are an imperial colonial. We have an imperial colonial mindset, mm-hmm. which means that everything our government does is to impose, everything our federal level of government does is to impose their will on their 50 colonies.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that way. States should be able to determine things, 10th Amendment. But every step that this current administration is doing is trying to create an imperial structure in the United States where there is power only flowing from the federal government, where you cannot do anything because you need to bend kneel and have fealty to the federal government.
That's the unitary executive theory is what that is.
Yes, and that's what they're basing their lives in right now.
No, I know that. That I know. I've known that for a long time. What I'm trying to, and again, I'm thinking that this back and forth we're having is purely semantical because I don't think we disagree. I just think I'm trying to figure out how to define these things.
Yeah.
I don't agree with your synopsis that they're beating us at capitalism. I think what they're doing is they're beating us at humanitarianism, right? Because what they're
semantics.
Doing,
yeah,
again, right? Like, but
well,
like,
no, but
I think
no, you're not wrong.
You're not wrong. I mean, right, they have what it is it's capitalism with empathy, which is completely contrary to what everyone thinks.
Well, so yeah, that's kind of what I think that's kind of where I'm going.
Yeah.
which is they
turn on the coffee machine for
they,
me.
They understand in a way that American capitalists don't.
Yeah.
That without laborers, without people, you have nothing.
Yeah.
So they the first thing they did was they established maybe not the best quality of life, but a standard and predictable quality of life that is conducive to 80% of their population.
Yeah. Yeah.
As opposed to America, where our standard of living is conducive and approachable to about 20% of the population.
Well, and the Chinese, the standard of living was you're a dirt farmer out in the wilderness, mm-hmm. and you have nothing and you will die.
Right.
And if right. you can give them a piece of land, a place to work in the city in an industrial labor goal or whatever, mm-hmm. and the idea that you can be upwardly mobile or your children can become upwardly mobile if they belong to the party.
Yeah, well, yeah, everybody.
Okay, does. I mean,
if you want to be, yeah.
And I spent time in China, and I love when people are like, well, whatever
you did time in China.
I did time in China. But espresso? What? It's the end one.
So,
the other thing. Can you guys throw one my way?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The other thing about China, and we've mentioned this before, is half of their economy is funded by their
the
government.
State. Yeah.
And they
that's kind of what I was getting at.
And they invest through the government into government-owned things that then benefit their economy, and they get a piece of it.
Yep.
And the U.S. has taken to this government bad. We're going to outsource everything to private sector because they're more efficient. But all that does is funnel government money up to the CEOs and the shareholders, which is just robbing America blind from its things are actually more expensive and get done worse and are more harmful to people because we do that.
And when you're not paying for research and you're not the government owning the results of that research, and it goes to a government money goes to a private organization that then files a patent that the government has no stake in.
Yep.
Now what ends up happening is now the government is having to pay for something that they developed.
Yep.
Whereas in China, that doesn't happen.
Right.
And of course, people in America, it's like, well, you don't want to be like a Chinese take everything for business. You don't want to be part of Chinese environment because government gets they're going to take everything from you.
They got billionaires. What are you talking about?
Until that billionaire does something that they don't like, and then they take $1 billion away,
which he goes away.
And then I wish do I wish that they would do that here? Yes. Absolutely. Billionaires should not exist while one person goes hungry.
Not for the same reason, right? To be clear, the reason why the billionaires disappear in China is because they say something the party doesn't
like. They do something, then get caught illegally.
The reason
in the milk because it makes it taste sweet.
Yes. Delicious. And I just want to say, the billionaires in China that go away are the ones that start speaking out against the thing that made them the $1 billion.
Yeah. Correct.
Which is like, wow, you just gored the golden calf. Good work, sir.
You were literally given a permission slip to become a billionaire.
Yep.
And you decided to talk shit about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do you?
Because you thought you were living in Macau and that wouldn't stop. That would stop them.
If you're clever enough to divest all of your holdings overseas into a place where they can't touch you and then leave and then say your thing, then that's different. But they never do that.
Yeah, they never do that. Because why?
They probably can't.
Because billionaires have hubris.
Yeah.
Billionaire becomes a billionaire on their own dime.
Right.
And so therefore, every one of them thinks they did it on their own and they owe nothing to anybody.
Yeah. It's all my hard work. I'm the one that did it.
Yeah. Well, now to be clear, for those
I bought the lottery ticket.
Who may think that we're spending a lot of time glazing on China. China has a lot of problems. There's no doubt about it. I maintain it's a fun way to – I say fun. It's not the right word. It's an interesting frame of reference when you look at history and development, and you go, you know what? You can do a lot if you don't worry about the human cost.
Right.
Right. Look at Russia in World War II.
Sure.
And Stalingrad. They didn't give a shit about the human cost in defending that place, but they did it. Damn it. Yeah. In the same way that, if you look at Foxconn and Apple, from about 20 to 10 years ago.
Yeah.
They had anti-suicide nets.
Yep.
Built. No, they didn't improve the working conditions for the people in the factory. They just put in nets to stop from killing themselves.
Well, but is that China's fault? Or is that Foxconn, a corporation that was being funded by American billionaires' fault?
Hang on.
Yeah.
Corporations in China have to be members of the party to be corporations, yes?
The individuals who are part of it. But was Foxconn a Chinese corporation? That's the question.
Yeah,
it's based in China, right?
The point I was trying to make is, and why I like to bring up China in this case, is because China is doing with its own government invested what America did through the 50s, 60s, and
70s. Right. Yeah.
Yes. That's when American power became – that's when our universities grew and were the best in the world. That's where our research grew and we were finding – all kinds of stuff because we were funding it. And then the Reaganites got in power and made fun of $100 hammer. And, oh, they're looking at rats on a treadmill to see how fast they can run. That's $1 million.
Yeah.
And people were like, what the hell is that? Yeah, it was anti-intellectualism coming out of Reagan, trying to cut the budget to raise taxes so that rich people didn't have to pay for anything.
Yeah.
And we have destroyed America in the 40 years since then. Ever shrinking the amount of investment America actually makes in America,
and we the people invest of
in other in companies who then take a large part of that and invest it in themselves.
And I'm going to keep saying it. Any company that takes government subsidies in any flavor, I don't care how, if you take government money to maintain your operations, you don't get to make a profit.
There's a YouTube guy who talks about transit. And he was talking about how in Sweden they built train stations, basically. And the overall cost was significantly less than other places because they used government employees. So they're government salaried employees who work for the government, and they build train stations and all of that. And they didn't pay profits to other contractors. They didn't have late runs. Right. Everything was less expensive because of the employee costs, and they owned the machinery, and they could just buy machinery and make 10 tunnels instead of paying somebody to do it.
If you understand how these things can work, like look at what Mamdani did with the snowstorm in January, right? The government hired a bunch of people to do the work, and it got done. That was it.
Yeah.
The most productive time in American history was when we were doing all public works paid by the federal government.
Yep.
Would that be the New Deal?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay,
that's when all our roads, and then the interstate highway system in the 50s after people came back.
The New Deal was the 30s.
Right. That's all the roads, all the public works, power generation,
national parks,
all that stuff.
All that stuff, like, it started in the New Deal. It's just a way to get out of the Depression. And
it was a way to guarantee people employment.
No, but they took the New Deal, and in the 50s they added to it, and they changed the tax rates to make sure they could do even more.
And created Social Security. There's a whole economic school, and it's worth paying attention to, even though it sounds crazy, that says the U.S. government should guarantee full employment.
Yep.
Yeah.
You should be able to get a government job if you want one, and you might be making trails in the forest, but they should employ you if you want to work.
I think logistically it'll be challenging, but I don't disagree.
This is where everything goes wrong, and this is where I take issue with apologists for the government, or people who stop and say, "Well, no, we could do that, but it would be hard, or we could do that, or it would be this, or we could do that, but you know, people won't like it, or we could do this because of it." And it's like, why don't we just fucking try something?
Yeah.
No, I'm
not saying you.
Yeah.
But when I hear people say things like, "Well, you know, China has its problems," they have their fucking problems.
Yeah.
I agree they have their fucking problems.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't mean that all of their people aren't fed. It doesn't mean that all their people don't have jobs if they want them. It doesn't mean they don't have housing. They all have fucking housing.
Right.
Okay?
Well, I mean, so I think for me, with the comment I just made, which is logistically that would be challenging, it's that I look at our Congress and I see a bunch of incompetent.
No, all of these incompetent doofuses that are there, we need a huge culture shift
100%
away from what we have.
We're a capitalocracy, and those people are there to fly in their own pockets.
We're an imperial colonial.
As long as we have this problem where money is the driver of absolutely everything in this country, we will never get rid of people who are going to give money to a corporation that's going to give them a kickback and make them rich.
And in that vein, and I think it's a good note to end on for the half, the only time and the only evidence that the trickle-down theory of economics is actually proven true is the corruption in federal Congress is trickling down to city commerce and data centers.
Yeah, it's the corruption trickle-down.
the corruption trickle.
Yeah. Trickle-down corruption. Yeah. All right. Anyway. That's a good place to stop. Let's go have some coffee. And we'll be back after this.
You are listening to One Man Revolution with your host, the Revolutionary.
And
the Comrade.
And
the Canadian.
And we're back. For my next magical trick, I have a Von Trapp Brewing Helles Golden Lager, which is a very good example of a Helles.
Ah,
it's rather sweet. It smells. It's got the maltiness to it.
Does it? Does it taste like Maria?
The Austrian.
It's the Von Trapp family brewery.
Yes, the Von Trapp family brewery. And of course, as it says on here, a little of Austria, a lot of Vermont. So it is brewed in Vermont.
Sure.
Yes. Hmm.
I have illegal mezcal.
Nice.
And oh, my. Another pale ale. Oh.
Look, when I'm drinking at home, I can do things a little different.
And another sail ale. Yeah.
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 So I have another Canadian, and because Canadians go down quickly, I also have a Molson Oro.
A Modelo. Yeah, here's a Modelo Oro.
Now the Spanish Molson Modelo.
Yeah, I was gonna say you have what we would call a North American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the Gulf of.
Yeah.
I think you would need a bourbon to go with them.
In the middle, bourbon in the middle.
Yeah, I'm sure that can be arranged.
Oh, I mean, I did restock. By the way, this week I was restocking after I was on my way home after work, and I was restocking. And I'm coming out of one of our total beverage centers and pushing my cart, and I push it up and I'm unloading my stuff onto the conveyor belt, and the woman looks at it, and I have all of my beer is upside down so that you can just scan them, you know. Mm-hmm. And she goes, "Having a party?" And I said, and I looked at her and went, "No."
No.
And she goes, do you have a rewards card with us? I'm like, and I already had it on my phone lit up, ready.
Yeah.
She goes, "Okay." And then I'm like, "What? You've never restocked your bar?
How do you work at a store like that and not expect people like you? Like, come on. Yeah. She must be new."
I think generally she gets people like the person she expected, which is buying for a binge.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And the funny part was I went out the next day and went to an Alphabet liquor store and got more after that, because I did not get a bottle of Irish cream because it was not on my list. I forgot. It was on my list, so it doesn't exist. They have a quarter horse on sale for a significant $4 or $5 off a bottle. Mm. Plus they give you a bottle of some Bardstown, whatever. They're like 12-ounce bottles of like mixers for free. They just give it to you with the bottle.
Whoa. Okay.
So I bought two of them, and so now there's a bottle of Hot Honey Old Fashioned, which, by the way, so it's an ounce of that, 2 ounces of bourbon or rye, and good times. And then the other one is orange bitters old fashioned, I think, or something like that.
You know, if you change the order of those words, you'd have an OnlyFans channel.
Yes, you would.
If you had old honey hot
hot old honey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hot old fashioned honey.
Yeah.
There you go.
Old fashioned hot honey.
Old fashioned hot honey. There it is. There we workshop that sumbitch all there.
Yeah.
But yeah. But I was getting like liters of rum because it's becoming the season for hurricanes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's May. It's close enough. I got to stock up the bar, and I get liters of that. And then, you know, liters of Aperol because why not? I had, you know, a couple of bottles of bubbles. You know, it's like,
I'll have to replace your bottle of Jefferson Ocean that we finished off.
Oh, this past week has been cleaning up bottles that had one shot left in them.
There you go.
I was like, why is there only one shot left in this bottle?
It's one shot weekend.
Yeah. And then I was going through, just walking by, and I looked down, and there is a bottle of that Smokehouse Cherrywood Smoked Bourbon from Few. Miscategorized in the tequila aisle.
Mm.
Because I was buying a bottle of tequila. And I looked down at it and I went, "You shouldn't be there. You should be at home."
Yeah.
Let me help
because, somebody dropped it off, right?
Because, they traded it out because for tequila. There isn't a bottle of that in the state of Florida, according to their application. I almost picked some up in Colorado when I was there, but I flew with a carry-on and I didn't want to deal with luggage.
Yeah.
I could have just check my bag. But yeah. But yeah.
Don't do that.
But yeah, checking a bag with liquor in it is immediately that some guy just got your liquor.
Yeah.
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 And your bag.
And your bag, yeah.
Oh, I don't know, dude. I guess something bad happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. It ended up in Prague. We'll get it back eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So I'm walking out and she's looking at the number and she says the number and I just beat my card and she's like you could just tell it was like, sir? Are you okay, sir? And if she would have gone, if she would have said, are you okay? I would have just looked at her. In this administration?
In this economy?
I mean, no, in this administration? No, I am not okay. I've been okay since 2016.
I was going to say, this rivals COVID for stress drinking.
Yeah.
And it's not,
and again, I will have one cocktail in the evening. I'm not like guzzling bottles of wine. I got some beers because the refrigerator was didn't have a variety of low ABV beers and it just makes sure that we have something in there because the peanut gallery has been like having a couple of those, so
she just can enjoy a Canadian.
Exactly, just having something that's in there that is good and when it gets empty, then the liquor starts getting disappeared.
Yeah.
So and it has nothing to do with like stress drinking. It's just this is convenient. It's like,
the Canadian bastards.
What'd they do? They lowered to what?
Fluid ounces.
Oh yeah.
Which you think? Okay, well that's right? Metric, right? No, it's 341 milliliters. So they just deliberately cut a half ounce out of the bottle.
Yeah. Normally it's a 333, right?
333 is the European 12 ounces.
Yeah, but I've also seen 300s.
So it's. Yeah. That's standard, usually 11.2, but this is 12 ounces, but they, it's shrinkflation.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So. Well, good for them.
Speaking of,
I'm still going to buy it because you can't get it here.
Yeah.
Have you seen that guy that goes in and like audits Walmarts and things and like the packaging in Walmart?
No, you just used the word Walmart and I don't even understand how, that sort of doesn't exist to me. So
this guy, he's on kind of like a mission from God, if you will, where he's going into stores. And they're saying, this pre-cut package of meat is so many pounds.
Oh, yeah, and he has a scale.
And then he goes, cool. No, and then he goes to their scale.
Oh, jeez.
And weighs it in real time in the store, and they're always short. Then the other one he did the other day was Domino's plastic bags of sugar.
Domino's sugar, yeah.
Yeah, 2-pound packages, right? He got 1.4, 1.3, 1.7. Oh, yeah. Like, he was getting ounces missing out of these packages.
Now, is that Walmart or is that the manufacturers?
Well, so the pre-sliced and packaged meats, that's the store.
Yeah.
And then the pre-packaged stuff, like the Domino's, that's the company selling it to Walmart.
Yeah.
But they're selling it to Walmart at the 2-pound rate. We're buying it from Walmart at the 2-pound rate. So we're getting gypped one way or the other.
Or is Walmart on the know and buying the cheap version that's actually 1.5 that says it's 2?
Yeah.
And selling it as 2 pounds and making the difference.
I agree.
Because let's be honest, nobody uses 2 pounds of confectioner sugar in whatever they're making. If you're making cookies, you're not using the whole thing. So
speak for yourself, man.
I speak for yourself, sir. royal icing. Yes, you will use 2 pounds to make icing.
Like you're going to use 1.4, apparently.
Apparently, 1.4.
Think about it like this: like that's a huge difference. And they say it's $4.40 per up to a gallon.
Yeah.
Right? And then you don't know if you're getting half a gallon or a whole gallon or somewhere in between, right? But you're paying that same $4.40 per unit regardless of how much you actually get.
Did you know that people trust gas pumps?
Yeah, they have to because they're certified.
People trust the fact that the government certifies gas pumps.
Yeah, they trust the government.
Well, but that's – so that's an interesting – right? It's weird – it's weird how we trust like the agriculture person from your state government because that's who handles gas pumps.
Yep,
it's the agriculture department.
Yeah,
or whatever they're called
in Florida. Anyway,
in Florida, yeah.
I'd be surprised if it was.
It might be transportation in some other state.
Yeah,
right?
Some local.
Well, I'm not getting in the quagmire of trans anything. Keep going.
But it's an actual state government official, right? I believe most of those tend to be appointed. Some may be elected.
Like Florida, it's elected.
Yeah,
Florida is elected. But
they actually made it harder to be the agriculture secretary because it did.
But what's interesting, I think, is people for some reason people trust the government. People trust our streets to be safe. People trust our stoplights to work. People trust, the FDA when they buy their food. People trust the local agricultural government or agriculture official or whoever the hell regulates your gas stations. There's a lot of inherent trust in a system by people who claim the system is completely broken.
Right, right. They just don't trust the federal government because of Ronald Reagan.
Right, yeah. I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
That whole thing, making fun of the federal government actually doing good.
Being capable.
If we can destroy it, if we can make it seem incompetent, then we can get rid of it. And that was the whole point.
And that's what Doge did.
Doge just went in with a hammer and stole
money. I know, but that's what Doge did. They said, oh no, everybody in here is incompetent and we're helping everything. Oh no, I guess we don't know anything. Bye. After we deleted all the databases and put everything in Palantir.
They're just like Claude Code.
They are.
Give me 9 seconds. I'll take care of everything.
Yeah,
that's it. That's what said the comrade to his wife.
Nine, she said.
Nine record time, sir.
Oh yeah, I'm doing better now.
Give me 2 steps, Mister. 2 steps toward the door. So after the whole debacle with our friends, the correspondence dinner, then we moved on to them indicting and swearing out a warrant for Comey.
Oh yeah,
because he threatened political violence against the president,
and according to
Kash Patel. Yeah. And the Justice Department.
So, yeah. And what he did is he retweeted a photo.
Was it a retweet?
I think it was a retweet, or did he just take a photo?
No, he actually
it was his own photo.
Yeah, it was his own.
Somebody, some unnamed person, wrote in shells on the beach, 8647.
Yeah.
Yep. Which happens to be the PIN code for my credit card, but... You know, anybody can do that.
Not anymore. I gotta change the combination on my luggage.
Mine's, oh, damn it!
No, but that is. I mean, I said it earlier tonight, right? Talking about he'll be out of office in less than 1,000 days, right? Yeah. We will have 8647.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It's not a call for violence. It's just saying this guy needs to go.
Has been.
It never has been. 86 is a restaurant term for throw something in a trash can.
You deep six somebody. That's a whole different
problem.
That's
different. Yeah. Yep. But you know, as with everything, right? Like the point of that isn't that they believed it was a threat or anything like that. It was that Comey pissed off Trump and Trump wanted to prosecute the man.
Right.
That's all it was.
Well,
that's
they failed to prosecute him last time because Well, because he turned himself in. What I heard an analysis that said that what Trump wants is he wants pictures of all of his political enemies from their mugshot. He wants a mugshot of them so that the picture that gets used for them for the rest of time is that mugshot.
Yeah,
you know it's a bullying tactic. Yeah, it's a technique.
If I'm the 48th president, Donald Trump's mugshot is what will live in the White House.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that'll be
if he has a picture at all.
Well, a picture of an auto pen is Joe Biden on there. Now a bunch of right wing.
What did he something to the Obama portrait as well?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah. He used something else. Tan suit.
Yeah, yeah.
A picture of a tan suit.
I was going to say, he probably did blackface.
Al Jolson. It's a picture of Al Jolson on the wall. But the thing is that, beyond that there are a bunch of right wing people on podcasts and influencer or whatever. And a bunch of them in the past, you know, during the Biden administration posted 8646.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, we had that famous tailgate painting
trussed up in the back of the
of Biden. Yeah. Biden all trussed up in the back of the truck. Right. I mean, there was that one and all the other things, you know, all the other things that were said against President Biden. But of course, that was then, and this is now, and the emperor, who has no depends, he takes
the emperor's new depends.
The emperor's new depends. How the emperor got his new depends back.
Yeah.
But yeah, but the emperor in depends here.
It's a shitty story.
He complains. It can be a shitty story. he complains about the fact that everyone's treating him poorly.
Right.
You know, and obviously that's a threat against him. When an actual person came to the building that he was in and ran through all of his security, in giant quotes, to do him harm, and then, of course, now he needs a $400 million ballroom. You know?
One thing that sticks out to me about all this, and this is kind of going back
to... Well, it's not Trump's penis.
No, it's not. It doesn't stick out to me anyway.
Well, you're above the age of nine.
I was going to say,
yeah,
I'm five times older than I need to be.
Yeah,
that's
a problem with you.
Yeah,
yeah.
And this was brought up by Politics Girl.
Mm-hmm.
He goes after everybody he's gotten the upper hand on forever. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You can't do anything, and he won't bring it back up and talk about what a terrible person you are.
Yeah.
But what are the two people he doesn't
punch down?
What are the two people he doesn't talk about?
Oh, the people who accuse him of
the people who apparently tried to kill him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He has not talked about the Butler shooter. He has not talked about the guy at the golf course. He's not talked about the Charlie Kirk shooting.
He's not talked about this dude. It's like. None of those things, even though they all got caught, they all got, you know, you would think that he would say, look how good I am. I'm catching all the people. Right. But he doesn't.
We're trying to do me harm.
He doesn't even mention people who tried to kill him. He only cares about guys who made him look bad.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I agree with you that the most telling aspect of all of these shootings not being legitimate threats to his person is the fact that he doesn't talk about it.
He doesn't talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah, and he also hasn't sued people who have said he's a pedophile.
Well, right. Well, like,
and he's litigious.
If he had actually been shot in Butler, Pennsylvania, he would never shut up about it.
No, he would never shut up about it.
Never shut up. And he would make sure that ear is in every photo.
Right. And how do any of his people think that that was a real thing? When hold on, bring the crane in, bring the flag down, bring the crane in, bring the flag down. Okay,
put all now the you photographers over in this side.
Photographers go over here. Okay, now
where are my shoes? Where are my shoes?
Now are you ready? Are you ready? Stand up. Okay, and fight, and stand there way too long if you think there's an active shooter in the area.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I mean.
We got
how?
It's on microphone.
Yeah.
You know, they move the photographers inside the security boundary 30 seconds before anything happened.
Yep.
Right? They lowered the flag all of a sudden.
People died. Yeah. They killed a couple of people behind them because that's what you do.
And do you think the guy who thinks he can shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and not lose a single voter gives a shit about that?
Nope, doesn't care about them. And then he used that firefighter's clothes from not from the widow. They stole them from the fire department he worked at.
What?
Someone from his fire department gave them to an agent of Donald Trump. The wife was like, you know, she was suing. She like sued for that not to happen. But of course, she's just a woman.
Even more gross than it already was.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's not like the family was like, oh, we're all Trump supporters. Here's his uniform so you can use it in a political ad. No, she was like, I do not want you using my husband.
We're not talking about Erica Kirk here.
Oh, did you see her outfit this week? Her black on black on black hat with
M&M 8L. Oh,
so bad. And of course, Erica Kirk was at the correspondence dinner, and she's like, I want to go home wait, where are the cameras? To my children. Oh, I got to go home to my children.
Did you see the photos where like all the VIPs are removed from the table and they left all the women?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah. Like it's just like a bunch of women just cowering behind the table. It's like, guys,
right.
What are we doing? Holy shit.
Oh, Stephen Miller used his wife as a human shield. She's pregnant.
Elon Musk,
not forget Elon Musk carried his 4-year-old around with him for
on his
3 months.
Yep.
After What's-His-Face got shot in New York.
Yep.
Yeah.
Carried him on his head.
So if I was there with somebody I cared about and there was a shooting, we needed to escape, I would make sure they were
with me.
With me, and I was helping them get through to get out the door. So I don't blame Stephen Miller for that. The photographer was kind of, it was a photograph of him and his wife trying to get out. And that's fine. I don't blame that against him. But what's funny is
how he was holding her. He had her head in front of his head.
He was ducking behind her in some ways.
Yeah.
But, well, I think that's just because he's small.
Yeah. That, I mean, it's hard to tell by the camera angle in the photo, right? I gotta,
oh, no. There's video. Video, and he was pushing her in front of him and ducking down behind her.
Keep in mind, I despise the man, but I'm going to cut him some slack for helping his wife get out the door. But what's funny is the photograph of the guy poking his head up over the table.
Yeah.
Looking at them. Escape.
Oh, no. What about the guy who was at the table with a cell phone making sure he was filming Trump?
Yeah.
I mean, what about that guy? You know, again, that doesn't make a very good case that this was incidental. But he was just being a good reporter. Was he? Yeah. Was he? You say the words active shooter and people sitting in the room, you get the hell out.
I'm a firm believer that if a conspiracy is more than two people, it's not a conspiracy, it's a leak.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that there's a guy doing something that's in on it that's going to try to film it. I think those people in 2 years will, like, on their deathbed said, yeah, this whole thing was I can make a buck doing this. Right. So I don't think it's that kind of conspiracy. If it's anything, it's a state actor, and they had some knowledge, but not really. And that's best case. I don't think that happened. I think the whole administration is incompetent.
Yeah,
I think they.
Well, also the charges they hit him with are ridiculous.
And
too.
I think this guy was just wound up about pedophiles running the government and not doing anything about it. And just
the incompetence is interesting though, because if the system is incompetent, bad actors have a free pass.
Yes, they have a free pass.
So we're kind of back to what I was saying earlier, which is they have, there are, I guarantee you, there are a handful of people who are handlers for these kinds of situations.
Right.
And they have dudes on AM or whatever that they can just go, hey, be here at this time to do this thing.
Right.
And what I'm getting, kind of not to disagree with you, Canadian, I actually agree with what you're saying. I think the point of that is plausible deniability,
right?
Because nobody, it's not organized within the White House staff or whatever.
Right.
It's a
connection external, somebody from BlackRock or whatever that knows the guy.
It's a plausible
deniability. He's got his PSYOP people working a couple of guys. Yeah.
Yep.
And it's all done with a wink and a nod.
Bingo. And I think that's all it is. Like I don't believe that Donald Trump has the capacity to plan something like this.
Oh, it's not him.
No. But I do believe that he is told as he's sitting down for dinner, hey, something's going to happen tonight. It's okay. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
But when it's done, you need to talk about the ballroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Something along
to that
those
effect
lines.
Happened. Right.
Yeah. The press secretary will announce it's going to happen by saying shots will be fired, and then
know. Right. No, I don't even think that.
I don't think it's that either. But
whoever's with him tells him, hey, just be ready. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But when it happens,
or he's just a doddering moron, because while he was sitting there with the mentalist, he just kind of looked up and like people were running, and he just looked back down at Vanessa on the piece of paper.
Well, he was told he'd be fine.
Yeah. Well, or no,
they were all told it would be fine.
Yeah, or everybody was told everything would be fine, but he's not an actor. Well, I've seen Home Alone 2.
I think Cash Patel knew it would be fine, or he would have arranged the Uber ahead of time.
Yeah,
right.
And his girlfriend wouldn't have been in a closet with another man.
Did you see the video of the president being pulled away from the table trying to leave?
Oh, yeah, he tripped and fell straight on his face.
Took two steps and fell.
Yeah, because he can't walk.
Right.
Yeah, that's why he sits. That's why he's always sitting behind desks now.
Yeah.
I also think that when a bad thing happens, he just waits for somebody to come get him.
Yeah. Because he can't escape, and he has nothing there.
Right.
Again, when my mother had, and I'm sure yours too, when my mother was in her full blown demented state, literally, you could probably set the house on fire around her, and she would just sit there and go, "Oh, look, it's pretty."
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's nice and warm.
Finally, it's warm in here. You know, I mean, unfazed because the concept of danger isn't there anymore.
It's also confusing. It's hard to understand what's happening.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, it's like this isn't what it's supposed to be. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
it requires a level of abstraction, right?
Yeah,
that is complicated for people whose brains aren't functioning correctly.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, the whole thing. I mean, it's easy to go down a "it's all contrived" thing, and I think that
I don't think he's in on any of it.
I think are there actors working in the shadows, if you will? Maybe. Mm-hmm. I think it could also just be a guy flipped his lid.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
And the security is run by incompetent people who don't know what they're supposed to do because he fired all the competent people.
Well, the test only has one question on it anymore.
Yeah, and so they don't know the protocol to take the vice president somewhere
else. Are you MAGA? Yes or no? And then the second question is, would you like to carry a gun? Yes or no?
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's two questions, which is why they pass, because they say there's only one, and they answer both of them.
Exactly.
My pushback with what you said there, Canadian, is that if a dedicated person really wanted to do this, they would find a way.
Yeah.
And I reference all of the thoroughly planned mass shootings that have happened in this nation.
Yeah, yeah.
For example, Las Vegas, right? Yeah. That was a guy who knew exactly what he was going to do and how he wanted to do it, and he injured 400 people.
Right.
Who was president at the time of that shooting?
Donald Trump.
Oh, that's weird.
My point is, right, if a dedicated and considerate and capable individual was truly, truly focused on this goal, they would at least get close.
Yeah, and I agree. I don't think this guy was focused on the goal. No. I think he was crazy and thought, I'll go create some destruction. And that was as far as his brain went.
Yeah.
Right.
But I also think people like that need a push.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, sure. That extra couple $1,000 in an envelope that appeared in his mailbox, travel money.
Whatever. Yeah. And you know, it doesn't have to be some sinister thing. It might have been a group of people who said, we can get Phil to go do it. And hey, he just needs bus fare.
I mean,
right?
it could be one of like the Nick Fuentes people, like the Charlie Kirk kid.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's... It doesn't have to be from within the White House. It could easily be just some lunatic fringe group
anywhere.
But,
yeah,
but yeah, it's a handler pushing unstable people.
But you have hit on a very important point in that the incompetence in this administration and what that security shows is they don't know what they're doing, and they just give a playbook for the next time a bunch of people are in a room in a place like a hotel or
this could have just been pen
testing. A meeting.
I mean, sure, but I wouldn't waste a pen test on such a high value room.
Yeah.
Like I was saying in the first half, an enemy of America would look at that room and go, "That's the moment."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You don't screw that one up.
No.
You got to nail that one.
You've got contingencies. You've got people sneaking explosives into the building to bring it down. You've got all that kind of stuff to make it happen. But which is why I don't think it did.
Right. There's no reason why somebody couldn't bring in crazy high explosives 4 or 5 days before.
Right. And but usually
into the kitchen disguised as bags of flour.
And usually in this sort of thing, they like if the president is going to a meeting of the G7 or whatever, that hotel is closed to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Only certain people get in there. This was the Hilton. There were people staying there that had nothing to do.
He was staying there. The alleged shooter was staying there.
Yeah, so he'd been there. Yeah.
So anybody could have gone there and planned this thing. And that's
kind of my point. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the security would not have been sufficient. And so the next time something like this, he announces he's going to SAPAC, right? Mm-hmm. Boom. There's an opportunity for a state actor to come and do something serious.
Yeah.
Because they are incompetent, because the Secret Service who's in charge and the state police don't know what they're doing.
Right. And they don't coordinate well either. That happened in Butler.
Yeah.
Because the shooter.
What else happened this week?
So then
we're only up to Monday.
So then the king came.
Oh yeah,
King Charles.
Right.
Yeah,
what a gift.
Yeah, King Charles. Right. He was met with a flag and a protocol liaison.
Good.
The flag was Australia. The liaison was a fifth level down woman who nobody even knew her name. They had to look up who she was on the footage.
I think that flag was not real. If I'm honest.
What's that?
The Australian flag?
No, it was. So they swapped it out.
Okay.
They swapped it back out for the Union Jack, but the person was questioned.
Okay.
Yeah. Why did you do this? Well, it has the flag there, and you know there are stars. Doesn't that count for all the countries that England has? And it's like, no, that's the Australian flag.
Yeah.
You know, and Prince Charles and Queen Camilla were here.
Not Queen.
I'm sorry. Consort.
Consort.
Consort. Queen consort.
Yeah.
Queen consort.
Is she the queen consort?
It's
or is she
king
just the
king consort. I think is
king,
how it's
king's consort.
Queen. Yeah, queen.
I think she's.
She's queen.
No. They referred to her as queen on like every stupid thing
on the CNN article I there just found. They call her queen. Queen Camilla.
Yeah, I'm sure it's on shorthand. I think it's the queen's. It's queen's consort or
the king's consort.
The king's consort. But hey, he's the king. He's on the money now. You know, so he can make the rules. If he wants to call her queen, it's queen.
She's both queen and queen consort.
There it is. Queen and queen there consort. All right. So
because it's just kind of silly.
Yeah. So the point is, well, I mean, so they come in. They are met not by Trump. Like he has met every like they did a thing. He met every other head of state at the airport. On the red and really? Rolled out the red carpet. Yeah.
Wow.
This is literally the only person of note that has come to the country that he has not met at their plane. Which again, that's a slight. That's a thing.
I don't know if this is related or not, but I did see a clip of him like line jumping to shake hands in front of
that was at the White House. That was the next day.
Okay, yeah.
And they're at the White House, and Camilla
kind of jumping he can do.
And I'm sorry, I actually will give the right titles. The Queen is walking, and the staff is presented to her at the White House, and they're all very excited to shake the Queen's hand and the King's hand because the King was right next to her, and they were like, "I'm gonna get to shake their hand." And Trump walks straight in front of her. Because, of course, this is for me, and starts shaking hands, and she just goes, and I heard an interview with her after she got back to England, and she was like, that was insulting, that was improper protocol, and I could not believe what was happening, so I was done at that time.
Yep.
And she walked back to Charles, and you can actually see it in the video. He cuts right in front of him, and Charles tries to like cut Trump off so that he'll stop shaking hands so Camilla can, because he knows it's a breach of protocol. Because he knows, since he was a baby, he knows what protocol is. And then he sees that she's like, piss off, you know, piss off, you asshole.
He knows and etiquette and protocol.
Yeah, and you know, of course. And then so he just backs away. He's like, okay, well,
that's
I guess
what
we're not
C
doing this.
C-3PO is Charles. Yeah.
Charles protocol drone.
Charles.
Yeah. Charles protocol drone.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was interesting. So all of that kind of kept going. You know, and he would be speaking about our special partnership. He addressed Congress. Yeah, a joint session of Congress. He went in there and addressed the people
that
were there.
The president.
The king.
The king did, yes.
The king did. And the king had everybody on their feet.
Oh, yeah.
Applauding and cheering. And, of course, what did the peanut gallery say to me? Hey, do you think we could convince him to take us back? You know, I mean...
No.
You know, I mean...
And the thing is they were applauding, like, things that Donald Trump is against.
Yeah. NATO
and things that they don't support.
Yeah, yeah.
When I heard that, it was like, you guys are literally allowing somebody to undo all this stuff that you were saying yay to.
Yep.
Do your job, Congress.
Oh no, but it's only they haven't had time, Canadian.
Oh yeah, it's only one day.
It's still
12 hours.
It's only 12 hours in on the first day.
Yeah.
We're not even halfway through to lunch yet.
No, I think this coming January is 12 hours.
Okay, so we're not even at brunch.
This coming January is the end of the day. We're already it's 2 years.
It's 8 hours. Year. 8 hours per year.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
4 years.
No. It's Congress's day, so it's only 2 years.
Oh, 2 years. Oh, yeah. We're afternoon. Yeah.
So we're.
Oh, don't worry.
It's about 3 o'clock. It's 3 o'clock. Time for a break.
Yeah. Sun's getting low. Yep. Yeah, and it's sundowns. It's sundowning at this point.
So the other thing is there was a big hubbub about the bell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So Prince Charles gave a bell from the HMS, Her Majesty, His Majesty's Service, because it was during the Second World War, submarine, and he was given a brass bell that said Trump on it. And that's
a shiny golden thing.
And it's like Trump as in Trump card. Like the idea of a Trump in bridge, Trump in bridge.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was a submarine. It was submarine, their Trump card.
It was their Trump card in the Second World War. It was in the Pacific Theater. It was decommissioned. Here is a bell. It is polished. It says Trump. And he was like, oh, great. Here it is. Well, they gave him what is the equivalent of you're a dick.
Yeah.
Because it's they gave him.
The most incredible dick joke I've ever seen.
They it's gave him the bell end.
Yeah,
and that in the parlance of proper English, is the glands of the penis.
It's the thing that Donald Trump doesn't. Well, I guess it's the only thing he has in that category.
It's a little bell too.
It's the mushroom cap.
Yeah. So again, the British can do things that insult people with a smile and a nod.
Yeah.
And of course, he has no idea.
Feel good about it when it happens. And
he got a shiny thing that goes ding, ding, ding.
Thing that goes ding, ding that says Trump on it.
Says Trump on it.
It looks like gold.
Yeah, and it looks like gold.
Tim Apple never did anything that nice.
No,
Tim Apple gave him a gold, a giant gold coin.
But it doesn't go ding, ding.
It doesn't go ding, ding. You're right. Yeah. Point made. I forgot. It doesn't go ding, ding, ding.
It's got to go ding, ding.
Does it go ding, ding?
Yeah.
No. Well, then the president doesn't want it.
No good.
Yeah.
It's gold. We'll keep it, but put it in the other closet.
Oh, yeah. No. That's where the children are. That's the children's closet over there.
The children don't go ding, ding. So, yes, they belong in that.
No, but they go dong, dong. It's terrible. I'm sorry. I apologize. To the pygmies. So it's really important to remember. It's really important to remember that then there was a dinner after all of this. A state dinner. By the way, how many state dinners has Donald Trump hosted at the White House in his in his years of being there?
Yeah. Three?
None. So
none at all.
One little known fact is that when you have a state dinner, it's not paid for by the government. It's paid for by the president.
Pays for it, yeah.
So, yeah, it's not surprising Donald Trump doesn't have any because he would have to
I think I saw a report on that when Obama was president, and he was talking about how like these state dinners cost him anywhere from like $50,000 to $70,000.
Yeah, and you're paid $436,000.
$400,000 a year. Yeah. So you can do four of them a year and just be okay not making money as the president.
Right. And again, that's what's the problem?
But he's worth billions of dollars.
Right. Well, that's why he bought. And again, remember when he had McDonald's DoorDash to him?
What? DoorDash?
You didn't see the DoorDash picture of the woman with the DoorDash?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the story
she's not DoorDash.
And the story. No, she's a crisis actor. Because she was also a downed pilot's wife.
Yes.
So
among other things
that she has been during the course of his administration. But of course we all know the Dems are the only ones the crisis actors.
It's like that dude on Fox News who shows up in a mask and pretends to be ICE or whatever, but he's been around like for years just doing weird little bit parts for him.
Yeah.
It's so strange.
So the king is at this dinner and he gives a speech. Now, first of all, Donald Trump is dressed like a I don't even know who put him in that outfit.
Was it an off the rack from Brooks Brothers?
It's a black tuxedo
with white.
Yeah.
And J.D. John, what's his name? John David Bowman.
Yeah.
It was dressed the same way. They were twinsies.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, it was twins. It was terrible.
But it's basically a black tux with all white.
The white waistcoat?
White waistcoat, white bow tie, white shirt.
He looks ridiculous.
It's a black tie event, right?
No, it's
yeah, it's a black tie.
It's a black tie event. Yeah, he should be wearing.
So he should have at least a black bow tie, if nothing else. But the white waistcoat looks awful.
Yeah. But it also, it makes his proportions look odd. It makes it look like he's a child because
I was going to say
he's like, in daddy's suit.
This is probably the best looking suit I've seen him in.
But compared to his
normal attire,
literally, unless you have an athletic build, that white thing, yeah, and the black coat is going to make you look like a balloon.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of J.D. Vance walking with his wife, not Erica, the real wife.
Oh, the other one. Usha.
And he was compared to a tube of toothpaste where you're trying to squish out the last bit.
Do you want to know why he's wearing this? It's what the king wore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The king had all white, and then the black jacket. He had his sash and his military medals. Ornamentation, but he wore all white and the black jacket. So Trump was like, "Oh, if the king's wearing it, I'm wearing it." I guarantee.
Well, someone did. This is what kings wear. Yeah, but also, buddy, you're not a king.
You're not a king, and you don't look like a king.
Yeah, you don't look like a king. But then Charles gave a speech, which was very cheeky.
Sure.
And there were so many things in there like, oh, you said, Mr. President Trump, that if it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for America, we'd be speaking German. Well, if it wasn't for us, you'd be speaking French.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because and it went. And by the way, Trump, you look at his face and it's like, he had no idea what that was.
No.
He had no idea what that was. He doesn't understand the joke. He doesn't understand the War of 1812. He doesn't understand the French territories. The fact that the United States, that North America was covered in the French. Even Mexico was covered in the French.
And the Spanish. But
No, the French and Spanish had a war over it.
They did. Appropriately named as well. Anyway. At one point, he made some remarks, and this is one of the people I follow on Instagram kind of like talking about it. He's like, here's a clip from the king's speech, and here's a clip from the president's speech. And what I want more than anything is for him to finish this speech, and the first thing he hears from anybody is, Mr. President, what did you just say?
Yeah.
Because it's just nonsense.
Yeah.
It is not to make fun of or criticize. It's literally just nonsense.
Yeah, word salad.
He doesn't say anything.
Well, it was after 7 p.m., so we know what happens.
Yeah, it's sundown time. Yeah.
And the images of him and Melania standing there waiting for pictures with Camilla and with the queen, king and queen.
Right.
And Donald he has her hand when they initially walk in, and then she keeps slapping his hand away. You can just watch her just like, no, you're not holding my hand.
You didn't pay for this.
Yes. Mommy Milani.
Mm-hmm. She's a findom.
She's a findom. She is. Well, I mean, that's how they met. So here's another fun part. The two women in that room both had affairs with married men. In order to gain their position that they have now.
To be clear, that is the fault of the married man.
I don't disagree. But doesn't it's a certain type of woman that is in that does that.
So Donald Trump is 2 years older than the king.
Ugh. And the king can make complete sentences. Yeah, it's weird.
I think that's what you get for having an NHS.
That's what NHS does for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that's what it does. You actually did military service. He did. All of the royal family did. Only one of them saw combat, though. That was Harry.
He was in Iraq.
He's been excommunicated. Yeah. He's been excommunicated from being
the realest member of the royal family is also the one not part of it.
Well, the spare did marry that woman.
True.
Who ruined him.
Yes, of
and
course.
And the royal blood, because, you know, you can't mix beige in with lily white. It's against the rules.
You can't have a tan suit.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. No tan suits. No natural tans.
No. Yeah. Anyway, the prince formerly known as Harry. Yeah. Sorry, the Harry formerly known as Prince. There we go. The only real one, and he's not in it anymore. That's fine.
Yep, the only real guy.
Racism, baby.
Oh, and that was the Queen's doing.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yes. And she can.
She didn't approve of her and marrying a commoner or any of those other things. So,
well, wasn't it the problem with Diana as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we see where that led, where that got her.
Yeah.
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 But.
They're all
Tuesday. What happened on Tuesday? That was Monday.
No, that was Tuesday and Wednesday.
Tuesday and Wednesday okay.
was the king.
So Thursday then. What happened on Thursday?
Oh Lord, what happened on Thursday?
Anything happened on Thursday?
I'm sure there.
What other crazy? Oh! Mike Johnson. Didn't they get through?
They passed the bill
to fund racist agents. Yeah, no.
Oh, they did. Okay,
not to fund racist agents, to fund TSA.
Yeah, but that also funded.
No.
Yeah.
They spun that part out.
That's a separate one.
They separated that one. Yes, and now the fight is on to pass the racist agents in DHS. Yeah. So Mike Johnson lost terribly. Credibility.
He's getting stumped.
He's talking out of every side of his mouth. And now Republicans are starting to. It's so funny. We're at the midterms, and Republican members of Congress are going, "You made a lot of promises in the past year and a half that I'm going to call you on now, because I have to go back to my constituents and ask for another 2 years of a job. And my record right now." Has voting for a big, beautiful bill. And that's it. Because we have had no other major legislation go through. Everything else has been blocked, has been stopped, has been stuffed, has been pocketed, has been pocket vetoed by Mike Johnson, has been removed, has been voted down. So legislation that has any merit to any people has not been passed.
No, of course not.
The only thing that was passed was a budget in that big, beautiful bill, which created ICE.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That was, yeah.
Which overly funded to the tune of a military ICE.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was the SCOTUS decision on the Voting Rights Act.
Yep.
Which I don't know what day of the week that was.
That was Thursday.
That was Wednesday.
That was Wednesday afternoon.
Okay, that's an absolutely massive one for a lot of reasons.
We can really go into that if you want, but basically, the conservative justices said, it's okay to be racist. When Congress literally in the law says it doesn't matter why you do it. If you end up doing it, it counts. And they're like, now you got to know why.
Yeah. As long as it's for political reasons, it's okay. You just can't do it for racism.
But the law specifically says if the end result is discriminatory, you can't do it. It doesn't matter why you do it.
Yeah, my understanding was the Supreme Court the whole problem was the Supreme Court disagreed on how you understand what is to be considered racially discriminatory.
Of what is. Yeah.
The law is pretty explicit, and they basically just went against it. They found some sort of hazy, hand-wavy thing, well, we don't think so, and basically said, Congress, we nullify your law.
Yeah.
Got it.
Now, the fun part is, state of Florida. State of Florida, the minute that ink was dry, Ron DeSantis reached into his bottom drawer, where he keeps all of his important papers, and he sent to the floor, he sent first beer. And he sent to his
for this half.
and he sent a map to his to the representatives on the floor, and he said, "This is the new map. You should vote on it."
To be clear, he did this in 2022 as well, and was ruled unconstitutional.
Well, actually, in the state of Florida, we have an interesting little thing.
Yeah.
There is a law. Actually, it's an amendment to our Florida Constitution that says that you have to have good representation of all the people in the state.
And the districts have to
equal representation.
Regular. They can't be squirrely.
Right.
So that was to fix.
By the way, that fixed. In quotes, Stephanie Murphy's district, which was the one that went to your house in Longwood, my house here,
and
your house downtown. It was a really squirrely one. That was the one we all voted for the same person. We're like, how?
No, I was never in her district.
Oh, you weren't in Murphy's district?
But it was.
It did stretch up there.
A snaky district.
It probably went to Heathrow and not where I was.
Right.
I lived in the poor area, not the Heathrow
area. The poor O's, yeah. So
we got the dentist's son.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Greenwood.
Green something.
Yeah, who became comptroller. The former comptroller.
Greenberg. The guy that did the fraud and then bought teenage girls for Matt Gaetz.
Josh Greenberg.
Yeah, Greenberg.
Greenberg.
Greenwood. 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 I'm pretty sure it's Greenwood.
No, it's not. I don't know what it is.
I'm sorry. I was just trying not to be as anti-Semitic as everybody is. Oh, yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
It was Josh Newdick.
Newdick.
Oh, Greenwood.
Greenwood. Yeah, Greenwood. Yeah.
Josh Sprouting.
So in an interview, Senator Rick Scott today, they asked him, what do you think of the governor's new districting map that he proposed and is now signing into law? Because the Senate of the state of Florida, of course, rolled over too. And Rick Scott said, we know he's not a fan of Ron DeSantis. They hate each other.
No.
He said something that made me really just laugh out loud. And I laughed and the peanut gallery was like, what are you laughing at? I'm like, Rick Scott saying, I don't know anything about any of that. I'd have to look into it. And, the courts are going to be settling it. And every time, and she asked him three times, and all three times she said, you know, the courts are going to settle that.
So he knows it's already not going to fly.
It's not going to fly in the state of Florida. We have a constitutional amendment in the state of Florida that we have states' rights. The 10th Amendment was good enough for making sure that you can't get a cake that says happy gay birthday.
Look,
but it's not good enough. But states' rights aren't good enough for making sure we all vote properly.
Well, the really interesting thing about how federal law works is it just establishes a floor.
Right.
Right. A state cannot do less than what the federal government allows, but it can do a lot more than what the federal government allows. So in this case, the state of Florida, it seems like about 40 years ago, had some really good ideas. And we haven't had any good ideas in the last 30 years, and I don't know why that would be. But
we've been controlled for the past 29 years by neoliberals. Yeah,
Republicans.
Oh crap! But they just they banned methoprostone through the mail.
How'd they do that? Who did that?
Court did that.
I'm Supreme Court.
Which one
was it? Supreme?
No.
The Fifth Circuit.
Court.
Yeah.
Oh, the Fifth Circuit. Yeah.
It'll go to the
Supreme Court. Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. Until then, it's banned.
Here's a question. So there was and I'm hoping the Canadian knows more about this than I do, because I didn't take the time to read more about it. There was a leak about the Supreme Court shadow docket that revealed some information about how it works in a really shocking manner, and that's all I know. Do you know any more about that?
Yes. Let me see if I can remember exactly. It's a little complicated. Basically, the justices are ratting each other out. I think it was Elena Kagan talked about how the shadow – first of all, the shadow docket is a new thing, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's previous to I forget which case. It might have been Dobbs. No, it wasn't Dobbs, because Dobbs got passed. But there was another one where they put it on hold and they did the shadow docket thing without any – The shadow docket, by the way, is where the court meets and says, nope, we're not going to give a ruling on this. We're not going to hear anything in this, but we're going to stop whatever is going on. We're going to say this is not okay. Right. Mm-hmm. So if there's an appeal, they can say, nope, we're not hearing that appeal ever without any process, or they will overturn that appeal and say, no, that appeal is no good. We're going to put a stay on it until it comes to us in real time. And that allows it. Right. So there's been a bunch of cases that have come up where the court has, like the ones for immigration, where they come up and the lower courts have all said, no, the administration can't do this, gets to the Supreme Court, and they, without a hearing, say, yeah, we're gonna stay that decision. So that means it's no longer in force until we hear it, and then never hear it. So effectively, without actually getting review, they have overturned the lower courts.
So is that the shadow docket?
That's the shadow docket.
Okay.
And that happened under Roberts as basically a political play. And that came out in that discussion. He started this whole shadow docket thing with a particular case, and I don't remember which one it started, but it's one we know of where we're like, what are you doing? And basically,
we got to pack this damn court.
It's corporate. Mm. It's corporate and administrative interests getting the win on the shadow docket, and they don't actually have to give a reason why. And it's awful. It just means that you can. I mean, I don't know if people are getting bribed. I'm pretty sure they're getting bribed.
Clarence Thomas basically
there's money.
The Voting Rights Act one, and he's like, let's reel up that ladder and make sure no one can follow me to the Supreme
Court.
There's
people with lots of money hanging out with Supreme Court justices, and you know whether there's an actual bribe or they just had an all-expenses-paid first-class vacation with, you know, everything they wanted at the highest possible caliber. This guy's great. I'm going to do what he says.
I don't want this RV anymore. Can you take it home with you just in case so I don't have to worry about it?
You need a loan? Here's a loan. Here's $200,000 for an RV. You pay me back whenever you can.
Negative
I'm not worried about
it. Don't worry about
it. Or come stay at my
estate
six-star hotel and be waited on hand and foot for 2 weeks in a really beautiful place. It's fine on my private plane. You know,
hey, look, this helicopter is going to pick you up and land you on my yacht.
Yeah,
and then we're going to sail around the Mediterranean while you're off during the summer.
Yeah,
and then we're going to fly you back on that helicopter back to the mainland, and then we're going to take you on a private jet back to New York.
While you're on my yacht, I'll tell you the things I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no quid pro quo, but there is an implied quid pro. I mean, this shit's going on everywhere. Right.
And remember, if you're paid, how did they change the bribery thing? If you're paid in advance, it's fine.
No.
If you're tipped afterwards.
Yes.
It's a gift afterwards.
It's a tip. Did a good job. A nice on that tip.
Gratuity. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
keep the tip.
The only way to fix this is to say if you're in this particular job, you don't have to take it, mind you. There's no requirement for you to be a Supreme Court justice.
No.
You can earn you and your family can earn no other money but your salary as a Supreme Court justice.
Wait, how much do they get paid? Is it $180,000?
No, like $300,000.
Is it really?
Yeah, they get paid a shit ton for the average.
They should be getting paid a shit ton so they don't take bribes.
But the point is they still do that, and they still invest in the stock market, and they still have wives who are in competing industries to which they make a decision about, like Robert's wife.
The Chief Justice is paid $320,000, and the Associate Justices are paid $306,000.
Yeah. They're paid a lot of money. They don't need to be taking money from anywhere else. They shouldn't be allowed to make money anywhere else.
Here's the math that blows my mind, okay? $10,000 a month is $120,000 a year.
Yeah.
To me, that is an unfathomable amount of money.
Well, but they have bills. Right. They have to live in Washington, D.C. They've got to have a house in the Hamptons. Right,
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's $120,000. $30,000 a month is the $300,000 or so that they're making, right? Yeah,
because you have an understanding of the word enough.
Yeah.
It's because I've been poor since I moved out of my parents' house.
Yeah,
but even when you weren't.
True.
You still lived in a world with enough.
But you know, that much money lets you, and it's one of those weird things. It's like having a house, you fill it with shit, right? Yeah.
Right, of course.
If you have that much money, you find a way to spend it. And you buy the biggest house you can afford in Alexandria on the water, and now that's costing you a mortgage of $25,000 a month.
That kind of income would allow me to have the thespian not work unless you wanted to.
Oh yeah,
right. The way I see that is that's just quality of life and a cushion.
Right.
Right. Because there's quality of life, and that's kind of a sliding scale. And there's what you're willing to accept and what you want to strive for. And then there's cushion, which in my mind in this.
But they don't need society. They don't need cushion because they have a job for life.
Yeah,
I'm aware. What I'm getting at, right, is how far beyond the normal person $300,000 a year.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's way more than enough.
Four times the average household income.
Yeah. It's more than enough.
Clarence Thomas could afford his own RV on that.
Dude, absolutely. Like. What I'm trying to say is that if I was making that kind of money, the dumb shit I would do and still have so much money left over that I would not know what to do with,
What? Why is? How is that not enough, Clarence Thomas? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah,
it is. I don't understand.
Yeah,
and that when we talk about like the scale of like high earners and the one percenter problems and all this crap, 300,000 isn't the top 1%. It's not even close.
It's not even close. You're in the top 5%. Not even close.
Yeah.
But it's more than enough.
It's more than enough.
Oh, it's so much more than you need.
And when you have people in this country who are being, if you look at the wages that our government considers a wage, minimum wage.
Seven and a quarter an hour.
Right, which is $15,000 a year, right?
Yeah, something like that. If you're working full time. Most people making minimum wage don't.
Right, but I'm saying that's the concept. It's $15,000 a year, and they can and they think, well, we can't give them health care because you know that's giving them too much.
Yeah, that's
socialism. We can't give them that's socialism. We can't give them a social safety net where if they lose a job, they cannot lose their house. Hey, we can't give them childcare because that's giving them too much. We can't give them food because that's giving them too much. Right. You know, the whole point is that when we've created individuals that are making $180,000 a year, looking at people making $50,000 a year. I'm gonna go up, making $50,000 a year, as they have too much. Then that's where your problem lies. And then you take that one step further to the people that are making double those people that are making the laws, who are now adjudicating whether or not those laws are lawful or not. Making double what they do and looking at them and saying, you know, you make too much.
Yeah. There was, I saw, and I'm going to do that thing.
And then we're going to do well done and move on.
Yeah.
Cause we got to shut down.
So I'll make it fast. This guy was showing graphs where he was comparing wage gaps by percentage of income earners in the United States. So it starts with like the bottom 60% or the bottom 50%, right? It's so much money. Here's kind of the income over plotted over decades. And then he goes, and we're going to look at the next 40%. So the bottom half of America, and then the next 40% was like way up here.
Yeah.
Right? It was a huge gap. And you're like, oh man, that's crazy. And he goes, all right, check this out. We're going to add the next 5%. And that big old gap becomes nothing. Right? Then he goes, all right, and he keeps going, and he gets to the point where he's like, we're going to add the top 0.1%. And every one of the 17 categories underneath that just flattens into a line, and it's just this massive, massive slope of income.
Yeah.
And this is I think, where when it comes to the discussions of income inequality and this whole idea of, you know, tax/eat the rich – gets deliberately mismanaged by the right. When we say eat the rich, we don't mean a $10 million net worth.
You're nothing. That's not the rich.
We don't mean
they're
anything.
Not rich.
No.
We're talking about not even, to be frank, not even a billionaire, right? We're talking multi-billionaires at this point because we've had
verge of trillionaires.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So we've got something like 2,000 billionaires down the stairs. In this country.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, the gap from 1 billion to 500 billion is unfathomable.
Also because there's only one guy or two guys that have that 500 billion.
Yeah, but like, so if you make it 100 billion and more, there's about 10 of them.
Yeah.
Right? Those are the people.
Hey, you know what you call 10 guys that may have over $100 billion on the bottom of the ocean?
A good start.
Pedophiles.
No, I was going to say a good start. It's the old lawyer joke.
I want to play a little game.
Okay.
It's called Is It Real or Is It the Onion?
Okay. Oh,
excellent.
Hold on.
Good.
Is it real or is it the onion? All right, there you go.
All right.
Is it InfoWars?
Ready?
Yeah.
Alleging that the shows had grown shamefully timid and unexciting to watch in recent years, a furious President Donald Trump posted a lengthy Truth Social rant late last night in which he claimed that circuses were not violent enough.
That's true. That happened.
That's Onion article.
That's Onion.
Damn.
If you didn't know, my gender marker is not big on the issue. So, okay, I get that. And I'm not blaming him whatsoever. I love the guy.
That's real. That's Jenner. It's Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a thought. So, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, that's real. She actually said that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unbelievable because it affected her, but she doesn't care.
Sam Altman freed. If I don't end the world, someone we're far more dangerous will.
That's absolutely true too.
That's
Sam Altman freed.
That's the Onion.
Really?
Really?
Sam? No, because I've been. So, oh no! It's that coked out guy. It's that coked out guy. It's the other guy. It's that coked out guy.
ICE agents swab passengers' hands to test for immigrant residue.
Oh, guys, that's got to be the Onion.
ICE agents swab passengers' hands to test for immigrant residue.
That's an Onion article. Yeah,
that's an Onion article. Yeah,
it's plausible in this.
President Donald Trump claimed Monday that the shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner reinforced the need to end journalism.
Oh wow!
Reinforced what?
To the, end journalism.
The need to end journalism.
The need to end true.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that's not an Onion article.
That's an Onion article.
Oh,
damn! Damn it!
That's you know, this is a hard game. It's a hard
Onion
game.
Is so good.
All I'm saying is I've had enough of InfoWars. When do we get InfoPeace?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
What started this is the Caitlyn Jenner thing, because I read that in a magazine. I'm like, this is like an Onion thing. The guy's causing me so much trouble, but I still love it. And then the Onion had a thing that said RFK Jr. appoints chewing skeptic to the FDA.
Yeah,
and then it was like so-and-so is a chewing skeptic believes that we should just woof it all down.
What right? is a chewing skeptic?
I don't know, but it was like, yeah, I think he might have got a chewing skeptic. I mean, it seemed plausible. That was what made me think of this. Anyway,
a chewing skeptic to the head of the National Association of Dentistry. That would be
something
better.
Like that. But anyway, yeah. it was the article was hilarious. I was looking for it online, but it's not online. It's only in the printed version.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Mm. Yeah. No, that's...
Mm. Oh, boy.
Is it real or is it Onion?
Mm.
That's a great game.
Yeah.
I didn't have much in the way of well-dones outside of The King's Gift.
Yes, the bell end was the
most
best.
Perfect well-done.
Yeah. That is so British humor.
Yeah, yeah. Very cheeky.
This is a bit of a stretch. Well done to the Supreme Court for being too stupid to understand what kind of a Pandora's box they've opened.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Not understood that at all.
Because in their ruling that you can redistrict basically willy-nilly, any state that's like we should allow first any democratically controlled state is going to be like we should really not do that anymore.
Yeah.
So Colorado is going to be all blue. Wisconsin, because it's under the control of the Democrats at the moment, could easily turn
all 82 seats of California.
Basically, Illinois should.
What they said is if you are voting, if one particular group of people vote a particular way, and you then that makes them political, not racial.
Right.
So you could do that with white males.
Yeah.
Right? Easily. Easily.
White males are Republicans. We're going to split up white males.
Yeah.
Yep. Split them up.
And watch what the Supreme Court says. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We didn't mean white males.
And Clarence Thomas will say, hey, I don't know what's going on here. Yeah. Mm. Boss? Mm. Yeah. Because I was paid in an RV for this not to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uncle
Thomas.
As all, yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Look, when the world tells you what's going on, listen, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it is as again.
Yeah.
Joe Biden's biggest miss was not taking advantage of. Well, it's not illegal if the president does.
Yeah.
Should've outside done of it. The Gaza Israel thing.
The problem is that Joe Biden was a decent human being.
Yeah, Joe Biden.
Well, he was a traditionalist. He
Joe Biden is a decent human being. He's still alive.
He's a traditional, and he's as a president. He still is a decent human being. Yeah. I guess.
No, he operated in the old lens of government that Donald Trump destroyed, which is that if we all behave decently, everything will be fine.
Right.
Right.
But even as a decent human being, it's hard to do things that are evil.
I mean,
it's not evil if it's done correctly. No. Hear me. No. What did I say?
Says the chaotic evil, the lawful evil guy.
Right. What did I say? The first thing Joe Biden should have done is arrested every member of the Supreme Court under house arrest and make a public statement.
What you're saying is it's not evil if it's legal.
Right.
No. No. Legal things are evil all the time. Yeah. Look at United Health. Yeah. What I'm getting at is sometimes children need direct, hard object lessons, right? The Supreme Court was acting like children, and they did a dumb, dumb thing. So the president at the time, who was not Donald Trump, should have said, okay, let me demonstrate to you the stupidity of this thing you've just done. And I'm going to give you a chance to reconsider.
That's what I was saying
he should do and he should have done.
I want to point out really, I want to point out very clearly that Democratic states or states that are democratically controlled, like Virginia, had a vote and a referendum. California had a vote and a referendum on whether to redistrict or not.
Hey, how did Texas do it?
Hold on. Texas, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, there's 12 southern states.
Yes.
That just did it.
Just did it.
Because so that shows the difference between actual democracy and authoritarianism.
Yeah.
And we live in the authoritarian South. We live in the colonized South. Because remember, the only reason the South wanted to separate from the United States was because they wanted to maintain the colonial rule and slaves.
They wanted to maintain the ownership, and
it's never changed.
Nope.
No.
It's just mutated a bit, so it's not so obvious.
Yeah. And for some part of my life, Florida was controlled by the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And we did good things.
Yeah.
And we were a state people wanted to be in.
It used to be a very good state to be in.
On that bombshell?
And on that bombshell, the One Man Revolution podcast is here every Friday night, almost without fail. Next week might be different because I got things on Friday night. Although y'all could maybe do it yourself. We are here every Friday night. If you want the show notes and the unexpurgated version of the show with no extra ads or anything else, you can go to onemanrevolution.org and get everything there. All right. So until next time, I'm the revolutionary.
I'm the comrade.
I'm the Canadian.
And we are the voice of the resistance.